I'm going to be everything.
It is I, Time Lord, and welcome to episode 36 of the Autobot City podcast. Yet again, as always, I am Matt, aka Time Lord, but then again, I already introduced myself. And alongside me is, absolutely nobody. I think an explanation is in order. Yeah, this edition was meant to go out last weekend. Unfortunately, a series of errors struck it, and in the end, we just threw up our collective hands and went, bugger it. The first thing that happened was Phil was forced to record without me. I had to attend a family emergency, and I couldn't make it for all of the recording. Owen stepped in my place and actually recorded an entire podcast. So it was Phil and Owen. Yay, some of you might think. Except for one thing. The files got corrupted. And seeing as though I pulled out, this was take two of the recording. And yeah, there was a lot of heat and anger between us all. Not between us, but you know, Phil got peed off because on the second take it didn't quite go to plan. It was sucky for me because I had to walk out in the middle of it. And you know, we feel bad for Owen because he had to record the whole opening twice and it just didn't happen. A good 90 minutes was chopped off as a consequence of this. And what you're basically listening to now is a very archival version of episode 36. We have the comics corners, we have the listeners' questions, to which I actually came back for. So later on in the show, when you hear a lot of allusions to a lot of apologies for my not being here, ironically my two co-hosts aren't here, so it's kind of a weird paradox going on at the moment. Be assured, you are going to be treated to an entire podcast, making sure episode 36 does happen. And as a consequence as well, as I'm recording now, Phil is actually recording part of episode 37. Yes, we are going to give you two episodes. Two bangs for your buck this weekend. Episodes 36 and 37 will come out by hell or high water, I will assure you. But I'm basically going to be rambling and I'm going to give you a little bit of news. Basically, I'm just going to give you a few rants. Because you know what? You're going to listen to me. You're going to listen to Timey. Nobody else is interrupting me and yay, I like the sound of my own voice. But, you know, you will be joined at the Comics Corner with Mikey and Phil, and you're going to get to hear Mr. Angry later on in the show. So, there we go. So, without further ado, this is Time Lord giving you the news with just me. Basically, what I've decided to do, and me and Phil have basically chatted it out, rather than read out the news straight from other sources and that, we've basically researched, and we're just going to shoot the crap. First off, here's the big news, right? BotCon have released their online registrations practically 1 month prior to the event starting. This makes me quite mad. Now, totally understandable, right? I'm not going to BotCon, and I've already had a few people saying to me, "You're not going, why are you mad?" Listen, just because I'm not going does not mean I don't feel for those who are trying to attend BotCon. Now, a lot of people got messed about because they were promised a few times, right, registrations will totally be coming up, and then they didn't. Do you understand? I consider this, right, the convention version of Big Bad Talk. No, sorry, wrong people. Matty Collector. You know, who totally mess about with you and their online stuff. It makes me feel almost like Digital River are the people controlling the online registrations for BotCon. Now, I will completely understand this, right? This is the very first time that BotCon actually have launched online registration. In the past, you had to go ahead and fax it, which was trouble at its best anyway, because not many people in this day and age actually have access to a fax machine, which means you had to go ahead and do it either at your office, or you had to go to like an IT store and do it that way. It's embarrassing. And I can totally understand that BotCon finally gave in to pressure and went ahead and released the online registration. But they proved yet again they cannot handle it. And this is the reason why I'm so mad about it. Here's an analogy, right? BotCon is a corporate monster of a business. It's not a tiny little convention. It's not on a shoestring budget. This is BotCon. This is the convention that has official sponsorship by Hasbro. It flies the flag for Hasbro. It's a big thing. It attracts thousands of people every single year. They got enough money, they go around blowing it on some things I consider crappy repaints of toys. But it's like gold for other people. It's a big corporate monster. So how is it they cannot handle such a thing as registration for the people who want to go ahead and spend their money on them? It's not right. Now, I'm not being biased, but I'm about to attend my second auto assembly, right? Which is something that's run for about 10 years. Their registrations have been online for some time. It is run by one guy, Symes, on the end of his computer at home somewhere in Birmingham. And he can handle that a hell of a lot better than an entire corporate business. It speaks volumes. Now, I understand. Auto Assemblies is a much smaller convention. It's on the rise. Oh, hell, it's on the rise. But it's a much smaller convention with a smaller budget. God, I've listened to Symes stress a few times now to know about its budget. But if he, one guy at a computer for Auto Assembly, can handle online registrations better than a giant, huge corporate convention in America, it just speaks volumes. And that is why I feel for the people who are trying to attend BotCon. Now, a few of my friends have managed to get in. It's absolutely fine. So, yay. But it's still, it's nutty that these people would go ahead and mess about like this. It's just, it's absolutely maddening. And, yeah. So anyway, back on track. The BotCon registrations are now online. You can go ahead, go to the BotCon website, go ahead and do what you got to do to get to BotCon. Thank God for that. It's still terrible, though, that it was 1 month prior to the event. Never mind. Now, the other bit of news, and we'll probably cover this on the next show anyway, between me and Phil. The next bit of news for me is the casting of Peter Cullen and Frank Welker on Transformers Prime. The announcement that Peter Cullen was cast as Prime mostly was negative, including by myself. A lot of people groaned because Peter Cullen basically has had his fill. He's been there, done that, fine. A lot of it is that Peter Cullen's voice is now aged and they feel that he's basically too old to play Prime. Here's how I stand on this, right? Yes, they're right. Peter Cullen, it's probably rammed down our throats now. He's now in the live-action movies, he's in the War for Cybertron series, and now he's going to be on a regular cartoon series. Here's the thing. This is the first time Peter Cullen has played Prime in a regular TV series since G1 finished back in the late 80s. I'm thinking it was somewhere between 87 and 88. It has historical value. which is absolutely fine. And you know what? Peter Cullen is a very good voice actor. He's typecast now because all people ever think of him as is Optimus Prime. Let's not forget he was also Eeyore and Ironhide and the announcer for Cartoon Network. But yeah, but I do kind of agree with where people got on. It is time for somebody else to prove his worth. We already got that from David Kay at Transformers Animated. And you know what? I got blinking lynched for this. Bloody lynched. Even David had a go at me because as far as he was concerned, this dude should always just be Optimus Primal. Yes, I think that Gary Chalk made a very good Optimus Prime in the Unicorn Trilogy. And I know Owen is facepalming himself somewhere in Lincoln, Ohio right now. But I think he did a good job. It wasn't a great job, but I think if he had the passion for it, he would play a very good Prime. I think he did a good job. You know, give him a chance. But I can understand why the producers went ahead and cast Cullen. At the end of the day, he is known as Prime. It's a big coup for them and everything like that. It's cool. That's all well and good. But I'm still in the same crowd that maybe somebody else should have been given a go. But I won't. I basically won't absolutely critique the fact that Cullen's on the show. The other one being Frank Welker. Now, as of this recording, I'm pretty certain they actually haven't confirmed he's going to be Megatron. But nonetheless, we are going to have Frank Welker on Transformers Prime as well. I find it interesting that in the same interview that Roberto LC went ahead and announced that Frank Welker was going to be in the show, he also brings up Starscream. This to me comes across as, so Frank Welker's going to be playing Starscream? It's interesting. It might be completely and utterly wrong and he's actually playing Megatron, but who knows? And besides, Welker's been known to play a few other characters. He was Frenzy and Rumble, he was Soundwave, he was Wheelie. Oh god, please don't let Wheelie back on the show. You know, I don't know. But he does, as a quote from Roberto LC, he does say this. He's really excited to see what you guys think about it. Seeing Cullen and Welker together in the recording studio was mind-blowing. That to me does scream out that he will in fact play Megatron. But you never know. He could well be playing Wheelie. Another thing I've got to talk about is the Takara Tomy 2010 Unicron. It's going to be released and it's going to be done up to look a little bit more like its G1 colour scheme. Which is all well and good and all, but I look at the picture and I think, meh. It just looks meh. It does, I'm so sorry, but I think I actually like the Armada Unicron better. I like the colours on that one and all of that. This one is all well and good, but all I'm seeing is black, orange and grey. And it looks bad. I'm sorry, if people want G1 colour schemes, that's all well and good, but sometimes a full-on tune-accurate colour scheme doesn't really make much. I think I actually prefer Armada Unicron to this. I'm happy if anybody wants to get this colour scheme, but personally for me, it's just meh. I don't think I like this one. But you never know. If you don't agree with me, go ahead, post your comments and your feedback. Please give us some feedback, for God's sake. You know, it's usually just Astro Train, Nemesis, Scourge and Freelancer that go ahead and post feedback. Oh, come on! Come on! I know there's a few of you listening. Get on the Nerdsphere and give us your feedback. If you don't agree with me, do so. Post it. I want to hear what you think. But there you go. That's it. I'm a bit meh about Unicron, I'm afraid. I'll try and keep this upbeat, and I think I've got the best idea all around in order to bring this news back to being upbeat. Megan Fox is out of Transformers 3. Yeah! Oh, God. Now, here's my thing, though. Alright, I quite liked Megan Fox in Transformers 1. I did. I'll admit it now, I think she's a very sexy girl. The only problem is, by Transformers 2, she became too sexified. She became too much. I started calling her the walking dildo because she might as well have been, you know. They just totally amped up the sex factor with her, with Alice. Hell, they even had Blinking Sam's mum going around using bravado like that. But I don't know. Now, there's been a few reports as to why she's actually gone, and we know she was at least at the beginning, or they've done something with her, because there were those pictures of her out there with Bumblebee. I still think we will see Megan Fox in Transformers 3. I think they've just recorded a nice little scene with her, or they've killed her off. I don't know. But there's been some rumours that she's been fired because of some prima donna behaviour she's had towards Michael Bay, and they've had a falling out. And others have said she actually chose to quit because, yet again, she had a problem with Michael Bay, blah, 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 blah. But here's my thing. If she was sacked for basically being a prima donna, and there's been reports that she was being a bit of a cowbag during Transformers 2 and the early stages of Transformers 3, if they got rid of her for that, I will completely agree with what Night/2020 is saying in this video and say, well, good for them. Good for them. Because then that will send out a message to these actors who think they're bigger than the film. And yeah, they may well be, but, you know, keep your egos in check. Keep them in check. Because, yeah, you may be a big name now, but what if your light glimmers? I mean, we've seen it happen to so many stars to the point where today's generation don't even know who the hell they are. I mean, you guys may be great now, but what, say, in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, will they remember you now? You know? Keep your feet well and truly on the ground. I have no sympathy for you if you're going to act like a total moron. And this leads us straight into Shia LaBeouf. Shia! Dude! Part of me wants to respect you for the fact that you're admitting that you appear in crap films. You know, he's starting to say that he thought that Indiana Jones 4 was crap, when fair dues it was, and he is saying that Transformers 2 was crap and he was disappointed by it and stuff. That's fine, but he's doing it in such a stupid-ass way with his comments and all this other stuff. And it makes you think, do we really want to cast this jerk in our movies? You know? I know I wouldn't. And I'm not even a film director. It's just... yeah. This is the thing. If they fired fake Megan Fox for prima donna behaviour, if I was Shia LaBeouf, I would be paying attention right now. And I would be buttoning it. That is a cert. That's basically it. I could carry on going on about the news on my own right now, but it'll spoil it for episode 37. I want to keep some back, just so that we got something to talk about between me, Phil, and possibly Owen, when we get round to recording it, because hopefully we're going to be recording all of this in one foul sweep today. But there you go. I think there's other things to say, but I'm gonna keep it. No, actually, I will say this. Back to Megan Fox, right? Now, the rumours have circulated that her character may be recast, or they will bring in a new character to play a love interest to Sam. I'm actually thinking more of the latter than the former, because I still think that they've recorded something with Megan Fox to include in the film. That is why we saw her around on the set prior to the major photography. I think they have done something with Megan Fox to explain the loss of her character. So I think any new actress being brought into the film will be a new character. And I'm looking at this Sophie Atterton now. She's been in stuff like the upcoming Prince of Persia and I believe Clash of the Titans as well. She's nice, she's fine. She looks relatively normal, and I hope they don't, if she is cast in the film, I really do hope they don't amp the sex factor with her. I hope she's like your typical girl next door, because she has that typical girl next door look to her. I don't want her to become another walking dildo. Biggity boo! And that's it. I still think that we will have Megan Fox in Transformers 3 for a few minutes, if not a few seconds. Who knows? Maybe Megatron trod on her. You never know. Mind you, as Michael Bay would say, that will be awesome! And I think I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to go off, and it's going to be the Comics Corner with Phil and Mikey, and I believe Amy as well. I don't know. I haven't listened to the footage yet. But there you go. I'm off, and we are going to be led out into a bit of music now. So ta-ta for now, and I will see you in the listeners' questions section with Owen and Phil. And it's going to feel like a week ago, and everything's going to sound kind of weird because, as you know, that part was recorded as the other episode 36 that didn't happen. So, that's me waffling on the mouth now. I will catch you all later. Bye-bye for now. Hit it. We'll be right back.
Hello! Welcome to the Comics Corner, yet again, with me, the Comics Corner host, not Matt, Phil, who's been drinking. Yes, this is going to be fun! Hi, Mikey.
Hello, Drunk Art.
I've only had a couple of beers, which yes, I don't really need. Which I don't really need to like help me through this issue, because this issue was... we'll get there in the end. Part one of the two-parter that we promised you at the end of last week's marathon session that had Nomad in it. This is going to be another two-part Comics Corner. The first part being Ironhide, issue one. Let's see, written by Mike Costa, obviously. Art by Casey Collier. Colors by Joanna LaFuente. And then always letters by Chris Murray, Denton J. Tipton, the associate editor, and Andy Schmidt doing nothing as always.
as always, the love for it, Mr. Schmidt. His name is.
I want to read the story so far a bit, because this kind of like is prominent. Not prominent, poignant. That's the word I was looking for. The oldest, toughest, and most battle-tested Autobot, Ironhide has been Optimus Prime's friend and bodyguard for millennia. Bodyguard? News to me. However, Ironhide recently killed by human agents wielding Cybertronian technology while the gruff but kind Autobot was doing what he did best, protecting his friends. But now something stirs on his dormant home planet, Cybertron.
Just think, Ironhide died protecting some schmuck whose ego got the better of him and then ran off with all the cool stuff.
No. He died. Yeah. He died protecting, what's his name? Bruce Banner? Because then he went, Hot Rod Smash!
what you're saying is that ongoing Hot Rodimus, and if you think I'm going to keep on using
No, him, he's Hot Rod.
So what you're saying is that he's actually the Hulk.
He's the Hulk, because he picks up tanks and beats shit out of people with it.
Okay. I think we'll continue on without mentioning this vein of thought ever again.
Where do we start with this? Let's start with the covers. We have covers by Marcelo... Is that Mathieu?
I've always said Mathieu.
Mathieu, okay. And Casey Collier has done a cover as well. Personally, I got the Rare Incentive cover. I got the no-texty cover.
I've got the Marcelo Mathieu, whatever his name is.
Oh, the punchy fist one, but you've got the text at the top?
Yeah.
No, it's the same cover as mine. The only difference is they didn't put the text on. And I only got them because my comic shop are nice to me and don't charge me extra for them.
Is it just me, or did the incentive covers get me a bit lazy lately?
They are kind of getting a bit lazy, because like, that's just the same cover with no text on it.
Yeah, well, remember the incentive for Maximum Dinobots 1, where you had the All Hail Megatron cover and Grimlock coming punching through it?
Yeah.
All hail me, Grimlock.
See, this is the thing. It's like, you know, come on, guys. But then again, they obviously put as much work into these incentive covers now as they do into their extra features for their trade paperbacks.
Mm.
Or into the effort that they put into writing Continuum. Oh, no, we'll not go
You
there.
Let the man in peace. He doesn't know any better. He's young-ish.
He's young-ish. Yeah, anyways. So we start with a first page that's got no text on it at all. We basically see Cybertron, and then we see buildings, and then we get closer to buildings, and then we go inside a building, and then we get a beep. I don't know why they did that.
I have an idea, but I'll mention it when we get to the end.
Yeah, because then we jump straight to 4 million years ago. Bit of a time jump there. we get, I've just got to say this now, the artwork in this issue is sex.
Yes, it is quite nice.
Oh, it's awesome. We get Prowl, we've got Prime, Hound, Blur, Wind Charger, of all people. And
yeah.
Who the heck's that?
Going by what he says in the next page, I think it's Groove. I thought it was Hardhead the first time, but...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, sorry, it's Groove. Yeah. And we've also got Decepticon-wise, I can only pick out Soundwave and one of the Constructicons there.
It's Soundwave and Hook. Hook, Laserbeak, Soundwave, Buzzsaw, and I don't know who the two guys at the back are.
Yeah, yeah, because it's... I love this rendition of Blur.
Yeah, it is nice.
Is this the same guy that drew Spotlight Blur or the cover for Spotlight Blur?
He did Spotlight Blur and he did Spotlight Drift.
Yes, because like, oh, I love his... I just love his renditions of all the robots. I'm just going to get it out there now. I don't think I was disappointed with any robot design in this comic whatsoever.
Continuity thing. Everyone's got their original Furman EJ Sue designs, except Prime, who's like got a baser version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's missing a few of the grills and smoke pipes that he has, but it's like it's before he upgraded or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, he's not wielding two-fisted debt.
Indeed. we get a line from Prime. Here they come, down the thoroughfare, hold them back. So we're obviously dumped straight into the middle of a firefight here. We get the Prime dishing out orders. He wants Blur to break their ranks, disorganize them. To which good old Windcharger's like, I can do it, I'm fast.
No one cares.
Windcharger, well, your Windcharger, just...
just stand in the corner like you were meant to.
Mm-hmm. You're not as fast as Blur, I need you to stay here and hold the line with Groove.
That was a nice way of saying, shut up, tiny person, before I hurt you.
Prowl basically getting told to hold the line, Prowl's sort of like kind of disagreeing, saying that if he can go to higher ground with Hound, they can pick them off. And it's like, nope, send Hound, but you stay here. You need to command from the ground. And Prime basically buggers off and decides to flank them. And to which Prowl thinks it's suicide because he's going alone. And we find out why there's a battle, because the Decepticons are trying to deliver a convoy of Energon, and if it is successful, the city will fall, and he doesn't want to lose another city. Prowl being Prowl sort of says, but we could do an aerial assault, and Prime, I'm doing this, hold the line. I like this, sort of like Prowl is... Do you like this Prowl better?
I see him as a pre-Furman Prowl, sort of before he got up his own arse.
Yeah,
let's face it, that's how Furman wrote him.
Yeah, I kind of see this Prowl as somebody who kind of has it planned. Like I see a very tactical Prowl here, and he's like, you know, if we're going to win this, we do this, this, and this. But Prime's like, no, we're doing it my way. You know, which is a good thing because Prime's a leader. You know, he's got to be allowed to do his own thing. But it's good to see Prowl sort of basically, I get the kind of inkling that, you know, the kind of like Prowl saying, you know, oh yeah, I should just be leader, let me lead.
Yeah.
I get that from this. I don't know why. I don't know why.
You know what I like? I like that they're arguing, because I mean, we've never actually had those two had a bad word between them since IDW started.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nice to see, you know, Prowl might toe the line these days, but.
For a while, he wasn't afraid to answer back.
Yeah. Actually, no. I suppose you could say Custer wrote him like that in Spotlight Prowl as well, but...
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Prime... There's a lot of empty panels in this, but, yeah. So
another very, very visual issue.
It is indeed, which makes it harder to review, but... So, we get Prime going down an alleyway. We get to see Ravage. I don't know if I like the Ravage, but it's still nice.
It's a little... I think it's suffering from sort of distance.
It's suffering from distance and the fact that he's so small and there's not a lot of detail and it can't be detailed because of the perspective. And then we get Prime being shot in the back and we see Soundwave looming over him. I kind of like this. It's not like it's a laser blast. It's almost like it's a containment beam that he shot him with.
Yeah, like he's got him in a cage.
Yeah. Soundwave ejects Rumble, telling him to go for the optics, and Rumble's only line, I believe, is ho ho ho.
I kind of liked this, and I kind of didn't. I like the fact that Rumble... I love the idea, like, go rip out his eyes, please. I like that. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like the fact that it's Rumble versus Prime.
Yeah.
I know that this whole container thing, and I know this is Prime before he became the big honking leader we all know him to be, but still.
Yeah.
He's a little out of his weight class.
Completely understandable. And let me point out, Rumble is red, Frenzy is blue. Rumble is clearly red. Black and red.
Yes, but the other one is purple. It's black and purple you're arguing over, really.
Well, never mind. Still got more red on him. Still, Rumble is red. Frenzy is purpley blue. Anyways.
Your argument is flawed. We're all colorblind people out there. We apologize because you won't know what this is about.
And or for all those people who don't have this issue, why are you listening to this? we get a very shocked, is the only thing I can think of saying. It's like a shocked look from Soundwave, even though Soundwave is very hard to convey emotion with because of his face. We do get a nice reflection of something coming in on his chest.
And a sort of like movement lines coming toward him.
Yeah. And I believe that, is that Ravage getting driven over the top of?
I do believe it is Ravage.
We get Soundwave going arse over tit. We get Rumble looking rather confused and panicking, and we see a stonking great fist, and boom! Half your faceplate's gone. We get the reveal that Ironhide has saved Prime's back, and Prime's like, what took you so long? Well, you know me, Optimus. Slow and steady wins the race. And at this stage, we get the introduction to the chapter, being Chapter 1, The Iron Age. I don't know. I like the introduction of Ironhide. Like, we knew this was about Ironhide. It wasn't going to be anybody else, I suppose, really. I don't know if I like the look of his alt mode.
The alt mode's a bit cheap. It's one of those sort of cheap Cybertronian, it's a vehicle because we say it's a vehicle thing.
Yeah, yeah. Anywho,
can I just point out something that I absolutely love about the art on this page, of that, like, splash page of Ironhide?
Yes.
He has laugh lines. He actually had, like, I was checking about this earlier on. I mean, they kind of used him for Cup, but those are just the lines that built into Cup's face. But
yeah.
None of the younger Transformers have these. I love it.
Yeah.
And it just, the expression in his face is like, what took you so long? And he's just sort of, heh. I love it.
I do like his robot mode.
Mm.
That waist panel thing is very Ultra Magnus looking, though. His big giant nappy thing. I like the way he's got a six pack.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Yeah. Anyways, we do get a little bit of a tete-a-tete between the two of them. So, like, Ironhide saying, you weren't planning on doing something crazy, like going off and flanking the convoy by yourself. And Prime just dismissing him, saying, yeah, well, you were running late. to which we get another nice little grin. It's very muted with very intense glow of the eyes. Mm. I like that.
It's really setting these two up. Like, if you're just getting into Transformers through the miniseries, these two are, you know, closer you can get, kind of thing.
Yeah. We then get a nice big panel of the Decepticons. We've got three of the Constructicons. We've got Ramjet. And is that Octane, or is it Motormaster, or... I think it's Octane.
I think so.
Because it kind of looks like his other mode would be a plane.
Mm.
But I don't think they mention him by name.
I don't think so, no.
And I refuse to call him Tankor. It's Feck and Octane.
Tankor smash!
Oh, for the love of... Anyways, Octane, yeah... Smash. So, no, that's Hot Rod Smash. we do get Ramjet complaining of the fact that he's on the ground and that he thinks he should be up in the air. And it's like, well, Megatron says you're on the ground, so you're on the ground. And this kind of ties into Spotlight Ramjet. Got no vision, one day I'll run this planet, and then...
I love that, because I really like Spotlight Ramjet.
And then... yeah.
And then we get basically Spotlight Ramjet repeating itself.
it's just like, thud! Oops. Ramjet taken down with one hit to the face. okay, it was the butt of Prime's rifle.
I know, but he's such a wimp.
He is, I know.
I'm going to beat everyone up. Prime hits me. I'm going to rule the Decepticons. Megatron beats the crap out of him. He's such a pushover.
I like this. Your scout needs to pay more attention to what's in front of him. Reoccurring ambitious idiots like this is why you'll lose. That's good. I do like that. What baffles me at this point? Oh no, it doesn't baffle me. I was going to say, why do they stay in robot form? But they're carrying the energon. That's why they stay in vehicle mode. What are you going to do with us? You can't fight us all. No, you'll come quietly. Ha ha ha! Why would we do that? And Ironhide is up on a ledge with Soundwave's gun. Is Soundwave's gun that good?
It's Soundwave. Everything from him is that good.
That's true. That is very true.
Soundwave is the Michael Bay of Transformers. When he enters the room, things explode.
So we get Octane saying, "You're bluffing. If you do that, you'll destroy the city. You'll kill yourself. You're not going to stop this shipment." And he's like, "Try me." And Ironhide laughing again. Ironhide laughs a lot. Ironhide's like Eddie Murphy. I can just imagine going, hee, 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 hee.
What do you think of, like, Prime with... Prime doesn't actually have the gun pointed at anyone.
Yeah, it's on his shoulder. What? See, I think that's, like, to make them think, oh, yeah, what the hell's he doing? Like, yeah, right. And that's why, you know, it's like, you know, I've got the big cannon up there. You know, yous are all screwed.
What do you think of the Try Me panel?
That is just a really nice... There's something glowy. I like the, like, little speck of glow in his eye, that little ching. There's just... It's... Is his helmet really round?
Do we care?
It's not... Like, I really don't think I have anything to complain art-wise in this book. I really don't.
He's seeing into your soul.
It's just like, if you stir it enough and then stir at the wall, do you see Jesus? No.
Well, Prime comes back more often than Jesus.
That's true. So we jump to the city. You did it, Prime, is the call that goes out. You managed to bring in 5 Decepticons without firing a shot. I don't know how you did it. Now let's try and pick out who we've got here. We've obviously got Blur's arm. That's Groove. There is a Hound in the background. We've got Prowl. We've got Blaster.
Silverbolt,
yeah.
And is that Windchargers in front of Hound?
Yeah. I don't know who that is Groove's talking to. That looks like a Dinobot.
No, it's not one of them. The colors are all wrong.
But are those missiles or those look like feet to me?
I was thinking of, like, missile pods, but...
Yeah, you could be right.
Because the Dinobots are all vehicles at this stage, of course.
Exactly, that's true.
They might be just two dudes.
Yeah, it's random dude and chick with hat.
Yep.
And if you get that reference, you look at AA09 pictures way too much. And we get the call, "I have good Autobots under me." Ooh, that's a bit... dodgy. You do indeed.
Get through one without doing it.
Okay. I'm proud to call you Prime, sir. You can constantly inspire these Autobots. Will you be giving an address tonight? Should Prime be giving out his address? He might get hate mail. Sorry.
Just like internet stalkers for Optimus Prime.
Bad joke. To which he says no, because he doesn't want... tonight's about celebrating and letting off pressure. We can do the speeches tomorrow. And I do like the fact the cup says, no, you need to give them a speech.
Yeah.
And then we get Prime saying he's a soldier. That kind of thing doesn't come easily. I don't want them to hear me stumbling like I've had too many from McAdams, which is a nice little touch. Mention McAdams.
Here's a question. How the hell did Cup hear them?
Yeah. Like, what?
He's like, that balcony's huge.
Yeah. Oh, look, here, there's more people. Ooh, there's Beachcomber and Warpath in the background.
I think that's Jez's arse.
And it does look like Jazz's horse.
Because that's all anyone ever wants to see of him.
It's like, hey, it's the black character. Let's just show him.
It's the black character and looking in the panel and not saying anything.
At least he's not dead.
No. What was followed, he was originally just saying, fool, I ain't getting on no plane. And now he's just walking away.
It's like,
I could see Jazz's BA.
That would be funny, wouldn't it? So, like, you know, have an issue of ongoing where, like Hot Rod does something and just have Jazz going, crazy fool!
I ain't getting on no Omega Supreme.
Okay, that's stretching it a little far.
An Omega Supreme standing in the corner saying, no one likes me.
And it's like, I ain't getting on no Silver Bolt. Anyways, Ironhide agrees, saying that there's no reason for to mess with the party. Optimus is busting Decepticons. He doesn't need to talk about it. And Cup, being the old war veteran and the little guy that he is, poor little guy, says, you're a prime now. Whether you like it or not, that takes more than soldiering. You gotta see past the tactical. Which is kind of a foreshadowing for the ongoing when you think about it.
Mm. I think I'll... I will talk about this more later on, but I think I've definitely got IDW Prime down now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I think they've got him pinned as who he is. I do see things is what Prime responds, and he thinks that the war is going to last a lot longer than anybody can think of. And Cup, being ever inquisitive, says why? And it's like, because what we're fighting here, we're fighting a philosophy. We're fighting an idea, and you can't defeat that. And Ironhide's like, what, we can't win? And I know we're coming up to one of your favorite panels. Prime's like, no, an idea can't be defeated, but it can be changed. But I don't know what it takes to do that yet. I don't think anyone does. So until then, I'll just have to keep winning battles. That panel where he's holding his head, that is an awesome panel.
Yeah, it's just, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, oh no, what have I done?
Master Cannon is going to rifle me? Oh no.
But we get Ironhide saying, that's the finest soldier I've ever met, and I love him even though I don't understand him. Moving along. We'll always love you.
Secretly, Ironhide had a wall full of pictures of Prime with little hearts drawn on them.
See, now I know why they call him his bodyguard. Ironhide is Kevin Costner. Does that mean Prime is Whitney Houston?
I could see that.
Prime does drugs and gets married to a really bad rapper and then regrets it years later. Anyways.
Jazz walking away.
Jazz was walking away going, stupid bitch! That's it, we threw woman. I'm gonna go sing a song for Ghostbusters 2. If it's up to us. Sorry. Moving along, although it does become a real three-way all of a sudden, because Cup's like, yeah, me too. Here we get some more panels where we don't really hear anything, but we get to see the party, Ironhide drinking. It looks like Blur's kind of like, you know, like boasting a little bit about what he did.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm like, it's pachoom!
It's just like, meow! And Blaster's just eating it right up.
And Prime's just going, yes, good boy.
It's like, yeah, you ran really fast. Good for you.
Do you know what? I could see this for actually doing something like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you ran fast. But you ran in the wrong direction.
No, we've got
he's one of the lads, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, quick! I can just, every time I look at Blur now, I'm going to think, run, Forrest, run! Sorry. We've another splash at the top with a lot more people. We get Ironhide. We've got Silver Streak. Although, why Silver Streak is blue?
Yeah, it's just... We've had Blue Streak for years, who was silver. Someone finally paints him blue.
And we have to call him Silver Streak. Now, when I looked at that at first, I thought it was... Smokescreen.
Yeah, he does look very smokescreen. And, like, the yellow...
Yeah, the yellow horn and stuff. Yeah, yeah. We also get a glimpse of half of Trax.
Because he's too cool to be in this picture.
There's Brawn. That's Silverbolt again, Hound. And who is that?
It's... I'll tell you when we get to the next page.
Okay.
Because it would spoil the thing.
Okay, so, yeah, Oh, yes, apologies. Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, so, Ironhide's like, hey, Silverstreak, it's Bluestreak, you idiot. Have you seen that Autobot over there before? Yeah, can't see. I've seen him around. Can't remember his name right now. Just like us. He seemed glitchy to you? I don't know, Ironhide. Half the guys here are drunk out of their circuits, which puts me behind. So if you don't mind... Oh, Silverstreak.
He's like, he's chugging it.
I know. I don't want to call him Silverstreak. We have to call him Bluestreak.
I'm calling him Drunk Bastard from now on.
It's like, drunky, drunky, drunky. So we get this...
Whoa. He's the Swedish chef from Muppets.
It's like... Drink. So we get a close-up panel of this mysterious Autobot who we can't remember right now. And he's staring at Optimus Prime's back. We get a really nice shot of his eyes squinting. I don't know why I like that panel. It's just very... I don't know. And then in a very RoboCop moment, his gun pops out of his leg, and he uses his opposite hand to take it out. Like, if he's right-handed... Sorry, left-handed, because he reaches for it with his left hand. Why does it pop out of the right side of his leg? Anyways, not really important. Ironhide realizes, shouts Prime, and runs... The mysterious Autobot shouts death to Autobots and shoots, but hits Ironhide square in the chest, which is exactly where he got shot in the ongoing. To which we get a panel of Ironhide jumping up as if from a bad dream, shouting no. And then basically... Ironhide's reaction to that is the same as mine. It was like, well, he's obviously in a Cybertronian med bay. He's totally confused. He basically calls out to Ratchet and Wheeljack about who turned out the lights. And it's like, thanks for patching me up, but where is everybody? And he realizes that he's in a city that is completely and utterly decimated. And our final page of the issue says, and I quote, Cybertron today. And we get from Ironhide, where is everybody? Now, before we get into discussing that, the cover for issue 2 shows him fighting the Swarm. So this is obviously... modern day Cybertron. Have you any thoughts on this part of the book?
I've got loads of ideas, but I don't think any of them are going to turn out to be right. I mean, he just showed up.
I left reading this, and I love this comic. This was a nice comic, right? I've set it down going, Cybertron today? Ironhide's on Cybertron? Ironhide's alive?
Yeah, I think that's what we're supposed to come away with it from. Just sort of, what the hell?
Like, okay, when they solicited this comic, they said, oh, you didn't think we were just killing him for no reason whatsoever? You know, oh, everything was planned? You know, wait till you see what we've got planned? Then why kill him at all?
Well, I don't like comic book deaths. Like, I am dreading them reviving Sunstreaker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Sunstreaker will be back.
I don't want him. See, I think that really ruins characters. I mean, look at Prime. How many times have he died?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the question. How many times has he died, and how many times have we really cared?
True. See,
once.
I think killing comic characters has been soured by the Jean Grey syndrome.
In that they just won't stay dead.
Now, okay, Jean Grey is the Phoenix. So by essence, she is destined to always rise from the ashes. But, like, they killed her, what is it, must be about 4 or 5 years ago now. And they've kept her dead, which has been quite amazing. But, like, how long has Ironhide been dead? 5 months, tops. Maybe six? Like, come on, that is way too soon.
It's just the idea that, like, someone kills a character, and someone decides, oh, I'd like to use him, and then they bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
And that always bugs me, because I think, yeah, you might want to use the character, but we you know, with Sunstreaker, we didn't have anywhere else to go with Sunstreaker. His whole story was completely told, from start to finish, and it was, up until the end, told very well.
But you see, the thing is, Coda made it blatantly clear that Sunstreaker's not dead.
That's because Shane McCarthy's an arse. We should not be writing Transformers. I'm sorry, he thinks Transformers are an anime.
But you said before you argue with me, yeah.
Before you argue with me, I will point out one character.
Yes.
The most cliched character Transformers has done in a long time.
Drift?
Really now? Would I mean Drift?
I don't know. Do you mean Drift?
Let's see, a good guy who used to be a bad guy, who's a samurai, who has a sword that he can only use in times of desperation, and keeps on giving cliched advice to everyone, no matter whether or not he's actually involved in the conversation.
Yo, you don't mean Drift, then?
No. I mean Cup.
Yo, but, yeah, because as Saigars transforms into a sword, he goes, Henshin! And
I'd love to see that. But yeah, the ending is just sort of a what the hell. But I definitely think this is going to be a bit of a different style of comic than what we've been getting.
Yeah. See, what will make or break this? This was a good first issue. I enjoyed this.
Very characterful.
There's a lot of sort of character building in it. But what it's left me thinking is, if this remains a story where they're going to, like, bring, like, where they're going to keep him alive, where they're going to keep Ironhide alive, and they leave him on Cybertron, that would be fine. But if they do this, then he just suddenly goes to Earth at the end, it'll be like, yeah, that's just a way to get Ironhide back.
Yeah. But hang on, let's go into the issue a bit more and then we'll complain.
Okay.
I love the characters. As I said before, Mike Costa's strength is that he is a good character writer. Very good character writer. Everyone he did something he gave any airtime to, they did something interesting. Even Rumble got sort of an evil laugh as I'm about to rip someone's face off.
Yeah.
And as I said, I can now completely trace the development of Prime from 4 million years ago, Costa Prime, true to Furman, true to McCarthy, true to Costa modern day, and it makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
Because you got, like, a young soldier who I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm slightly naive. And, like, he doesn't want to kill the Decepticons, he captured them instead. I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Right, and he's a bit naive, but he doesn't really know what he's doing, but he's very decent, very good, and all that stuff. Switch to Furman's one, who 4 million years later is a much harder character. Who definitely feels like he's not a take-prisoners type. Who, while you do get moments like in Spotlight Optimus Prime, where you see, like, yes, underneath all this sort of rough military leader that we've been getting, there is still this guy who is outraged by the abuse put on five or six innocent beings. But he's a much harder Prime than we've had. He's very basically 4 million years of being in charge of Doctor One. McCarthy's Prime. He'd come to a realization over what happened that it's not just that the fact we let the Decepticons take a planet, I let the Decepticons take a planet. Yeah. I was there, I was in charge. I've been doing something wrong. oh, I'll try and fix it. But it happens so fast that he doesn't have time to react to it properly and ends up, you know, basically, oh, I'll help you put things together. You think we're going to let you help? Finally, we hit Costa's era, where it's 3 years later. Prime's been trying to do the right thing, but he still hasn't. He wasn't able to find his footing. He screwed up. Ironhide got, quote-unquote, killed. And he realizes that I've been leading like a soldier for the last 4 million years, and I haven't changed, and I need to learn from these humans who adapt very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And now he's basically in the diplomatic position right now. And it makes total sense.
The panels where he's saying about you can't win a war against an idea.
Yeah.
That, to me, really ties into where ongoing Prime is right now.
Yeah.
Because he was under the belief that he needed to change an idea.
Mm.
That he wasn't fighting a war of battles in that way. You know, it wasn't a physical war. It was a war of philosophy, as he says, right? And he has seen the humans for what they are. And he has won the physical battle on Earth. But I get the feeling that, like, Prime has come to the conclusion that he's just not the right man to change that idea anymore.
Mm.
If that kind of makes sense to you.
Yeah, yeah.
He's kind of admitted, hey, I'm the guy who can win fights, but I'm not going to win this war.
Mm.
Which is exactly why what happens in Ongoing 6, which we'll talk about in the second half of the show, exactly why it does happen in the way it happens. And I think this gives you a greater appreciation for what a lot of people called emo Prime.
Yeah.
And I think if people go back, excuse me, in, say, maybe a few months' time, when this is all said and done, and we go back and we reread Ongoing, the first arc, knowing what we learn about Prime in this. And I probably think we're not going to get an awful lot more Prime, but I say we will get other flashbacks. That it may change some people's opinion of the why Prime did what he did. Some of the naysayers, maybe. Now, by no means will it make Ongoing Issues 1 to 6 a perfect comic book. Because the way Prime acted was not the only negative point for a lot of people. So, but that to me is a big bonus of this, it's starting to pull. It's almost as if IDW have got like all of these strings on the outside and they've started to tug them, and it's just pulling everything together all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Now, we know they like their creative flair when it comes to art. The artwork's never going to be uniform, but that's one of the things we love. So, but to get, like, some kind of uniformity, especially after reboot, we had the Asian series, and it's like, and it's, let's drop that, let's do All Hail Megatron, end of All Hail Megatron, ooh, let's drop it, let's do the ongoing. To suddenly have everything kind of feel like it's pulling together, even if it's crap stuff like Bumblebee, you know, everything is starting to pull together, and I think Ironhide is the twine that's starting to tie a few things together for me. But it does raise a lot of questions. Here's a question, and maybe you can answer this for me, because this issue obviously doesn't, and I don't know if it's going to raise this at all. How the hell did Ironhide get back on Cybertron?
I have an idea, but before I say anything, before anyone asks, in case you think I've forgotten, it was Axer who shot Ironhide.
Axer, yeah, sorry, okay.
Yes, Action Master again. They're everywhere. They keep showing up and doing stupid things.
Yeah, but was Axer not an Autobot?
No, he was a Decepticon.
Oh, I'm not good with...
The second head is the one you get with the toy.
Ah, yes.
You know, where he puts on, like, oh, I've got my real me. But anyway, this is my idea for how I've got two, basically. First one is, that's not Ironhide. My first idea is that isn't Ironhide.
Who is it then?
I think it's either someone who's been altered to look like Ironhide and has had memories downloaded from the time that that he had this, you know, when they were repairing him after he blocked for Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone had their Ironhide's memories from this time downloaded into his body.
Yeah.
Or it's a new body, and that's a completely blank slate that's had those memories downloaded into it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Or, which leads into my other theory, do you know in the ongoing, spoilers for anyone who either hasn't read the ongoing or expected us to at first, in the ongoing at the end, a certain someone steals Ultra Magnus' ship?
Mm-hmm.
The last time we heard about Ironhide, Ultra Magnus said, I'm going to have to collect the body and examine it.
Yeah.
So if certain someone who thought that if I find the Matrix, I can be the big boss,
yeah.
Decided that the only place that he could hide out for the moment was a planet that was essentially dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of went, oh, I'll try and make everything better by bringing someone back. You know, maybe I can revive his spark. And some after being shot or whatever, Ironhide memory rebooted, so he doesn't remember anything that's happened in the last 4 million years.
And the good thing is, if it is that second one, mm-hmm. it's that certain somebody's fault.
Yep.
That he got killed in the first place.
You know how I said you got killed and I brought you here? Yeah. Kind of my bad.
Yeah, kind of, you were trying to save my life. You killed Prime, and then you killed me!
Yeah, I swear, he's trying to get rid of the entire 1984 cast.
It is, it's like, yeah, getting you killed once in the movie wasn't enough. I'm going to do it again! My toys are better than yours.
No, they're not. They're really not.
As you said, this is a very visual issue. I think we've really covered the majority of the story.
There is one thing visually I'd like to comment on.
Yes.
The panel where Ironhide's shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, visually, he's in exactly the same pose, and so is Prime's in the same pose Hot Rod was in.
Yeah.
I get a very different feeling off it. Before, you know, Ironhide was pretty much silent and diving in front of Hot Rod.
Mm-hmm.
With basically, my unit commander is under attack, it's my job.
Yeah.
Here he's screaming no.
Yeah.
As, you know, you're about to kill the one person he's close to, kind of thing, with the person he's close to in the world. And, no!
You're about to kill my bromance?
Yes! What use are the pictures if he's not real? But yeah. Yeah,
it definitely is the same panel. Mm. Drawn, obviously by a different artist, but I would like to think they used that panel as the basis for this. Mm. I don't know. I enjoyed this issue. It's solid. It's a setup for something, and I really don't know what it is the setup for.
Mm.
And you know the way sort of sometimes at the end of an issue, you can kind of go, oh yeah, I can see where this is going?
Like, when we had Top Spitten and Twin Twist being tortured, I was just going, they're going to die.
Yeah, exactly, because sometimes you can just tell who the casualties are, where something is going to go. And if that's the way things roll, you know, then you know, doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing, but this definitely has you second guessing.
Yeah.
Especially, like, when I read that last page, I closed the comic. Now, this was at like 1:30 in the morning or something like that, and I had to be up for work the next morning, but I read it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
No, tell a lie, it was Thursday night, I didn't have to get up to work. But anyways, I still read it really late at night. And yeah. I remember closing the comic and sitting on my bedside cabinet and just sitting completely, completely exhausted, but just sitting going, what? And actually sitting and contemplating what I just read. It made me think. Even at that time of the morning when my brain was shutting down, I'm just sitting going like, what have I just read? And I don't mean that in a negative manner. I mean that in a really positive manner.
You just don't know what's going on.
It's just like, okay, you've completely confused me. but in such a positive way.
Yeah.
You know, it's got me thinking the way Wreckers got us thinking about who Equatus is, who was in Maximum Security. You know, it's, but that's a good thing. And and as you said, Mike Costa writes good character. Before we started recording, the comment was made by you that he doesn't write good action. Which kind of, which kind of has me a little worried that the next issue is he's fighting the Swarm. But, as we all know, covers very seldom convey what the story is about. So, it could be a complete red herring. I don't know. I don't know what to speculate, and I don't know where to go, because it has got me that confused by about, why is Ironheart alive? You know, it's...
As long as he doesn't just... Oh, I just had a horrible thought.
What, as long as he doesn't kill him off again at the end?
No. What'll happen now, right, is that he'll be wandering around, he'll find Sunstreaker's head, and Sunstreaker will become the comedy relief buddy-buddy who sits at his shoulder and makes wisecracks.
It'll be like a Rorschach and Deadpool. No.
It's like, what are we going to do tonight, Iron Knight? Quiet boy.
It's like, look, I've got a little head. No.
And some figure's just looking over, I will fucking kill you. I will find my body. I will kill you.
No, he finds the body and the head, and he's like, body's a bit bashed. Can you speak? Yep. Just need your head then. My body. It's just like, no, I'll get you a new body. And he kills Wheelie and sticks Sunstreaker's head on top of Wheelie's body. Take that, bitches.
Sunstreaker's running around in a tiny little body.
It's like, it's like,
now you can be the headmaster.
It's like, yeah, you are a headmaster. Transform! Sorry. It's so bad. Do we have anything else to say about Ironhide?
I don't.
See, this is the thing. It's a very visual comic. There's not a lot of reading to it, so there's not a lot of discussion to have about it. The art is orgasmic to the eye. The coloring is amazing. This comic could have had no words to it, and it still would have been eye-tinglingly... I can't think of another word apart from orgasmic. You know, it's like we're having a lot of orgasms over Ironhide. Ooh! It's eye-tinglingly eye-gasm. No, never mind. Anyway...
Stop.
So there's not a lot to say about it. So I think we've talked it to death. Rating out of 5.
I'd give it a 4.
Yeah, I was thinking about a 3.5. 3.5, 4. Because I'm giving it that. Because although it's a light read, and it's a quick read, it leaves you thinking. And that's all where I come back to. This leaves you thinking. And that's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. So, that means Ironhide is done for now. Not that he's dead or anything, he's just done. When we come back...
Wouldn't it be amazing if it turned out this is all like what happened in the last moments before he died on Earth? Like, this is it. This is actually taking place in like 10 seconds. Like, as he's falling to the ground after blocking Hot Rod, and this is his brain trying to cope with it.
Well, this is him, like, wishing what happened. It's like, is he going to get out of the shower at the end, and he hasn't been dead for, like, the last 7 years? What's Family Guy? No. obscure reference. Bobby Yoon for the win. That would be really weird, actually. Would you be disappointed at the end of this story if out of all of this, Ironhide was still dead?
No. But what's more important right now, I don't think I'd be disappointed if he was still alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a bigger thing for me.
Ironhide is such a pivotal, strong character for the Transformers mythos that killing him off... See, this is the thing, and this is what annoys me. If this does bring Ironhide back for good, it just proves that ongoing issue one, his death was done for shock factor alone.
Mm.
Just like recently, spoiler alert for people who don't read, or for who do read it, they killed Nightcrawler in X-Men. I don't see any reason why they needed to kill Nightcrawler for the story. But they killed him. And the first thing I thought of when I read that they killed Nightcrawler and I looked at the issue, they have a funeral for him, but that doesn't mean anything in comics anymore because they actually cremated Colossus, scattered his ashes, and he's back to life again.
Because of aliens.
Because, yeah, Josh Whedon's like, I like Colossus. He's dead. Aliens kidnapped his body. We kind of cremated him. They, like, transported a different body in. Okay. Oh, Josh Whedon, I hate you. seriously.
You and Glenn could form a club.
Seriously, Josh Whedon, right? Josh Whedon took what was the best comic book death ever, in my opinion, and took a big fucking steamy dump right on top of it. Because, basically, Colossus, I don't know how much X-Men you've read. Have you ever read how Colossus died?
Yeah, I actually bought that one.
Yeah, he died to save millions from the Legacy Virus. So what do? Take a big dump on it! Oh, Josh Whedon, you have so much to answer for.
He'll just go to sleep one night and just find you lot outside.
There's pitchforks and torches like, you brought Colossus back! You wrote Angel! You wrote Buffy! You wrote Firefly! You're rewriting... Oh, God, don't even get me started. He's, like, attached to Avengers. No! Anyways, that's a side note. Just hope, people, that Joss Whedon never, ever takes an interest in Transformers. That's all I can say.
Because Grimlock will turn into a vampire.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what you need, a psychotic vampire Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, it wouldn't be any worse than some
of them. No, he'd be sparkly, though. Like every time the light hit him, he would just, you know, look at the beautiful robotic T-Rex. Oh, it's eating my face!
It's like, sparkly. Anyways, now that we're completely off topic, I think we'll end it there. Ironhide, recommended. Go read it if you haven't. And if you haven't, again, why are you listening to this? When we come back, because I think Matt will probably stick a song in between this, knowing Matt. So when we come back, we'll be doing... What will we be doing?
Do we have to?
Ongoing issue 6.
It's complicated.
That was a really shit movie. No, I haven't seen it. No, ongoing issue. We have to do it. We did the first 5 issues. Do you think they'd let us away with it if we didn't do it? I really don't think so. People would complain. Although I must bring up at this juncture. People want us to do the Kiss Play review.
Well, there aren't any English versions, so screw you.
Yay! Nemi, it's not happening.
You can wish all you want. We don't speak Japanese. Andy, you read and speak Japanese. You do it.
Henshin!
Oh, wait, you don't listen. Dave, you listen. Andy doesn't. Go tell Andy to go translate Kiss Players, and you can do a review on it.
Indeed. Yeah, you can do it for the Moon Moose too. Because that...
We don't want that crap on our podcast.
No. We are nice people who don't talk about S&M Overlord or anything of such type.
No. Or you know, a character that is much beloved secretly wanting to bed another character that is much beloved and has pictures of him on his wall and kisses the picture that night before he goes to sleep and strokes it. And like instead of taking a piece of hair to a piece of metal shavings and off him one night after a fight and just strokes it every night before he goes to sleep.
And on the revelation that Ironhide strokes it every night, I think we'll end it there. We'll be back after some music, guys. Bye. Back to the second half of our epic comic corner, where we're covering two comics again. Not as epic as last week, but still epic. Right now we're going to cover ongoing issue 6, the finale of the first story arc, written by Mike Costa, art by Don Figuera, colors by Jay Brown and Andrew Dalhouse, and in a second attempt at the question, is that unusual?
I've forgotten what I already said. It's not that common, because usually you can notice the styles, at least I usually do.
Mm-hmm. See, I was just sort of flicking when I realized that there's two different colors, and I don't think I can tell the difference.
No, it's...
But...
Hang on. Ooh, there's one page that looks slightly different.
Which one's that?
We can't talk about it yet.
Okay. Never mind. We will mention the difference in colors when we get to that part then. Letters by Chris Murray. Chris Murray does a lot of lettering.
He needs to do more writing.
Yeah. Associate editor Denton J. Tipton, and the man that scratches his ass and smokes cigars is Andy Schmidt. Because that's all he does. We'll get off Andy one of these days. We really will, but I just like making fun.
I'm not on Andy. You're the one on Andy.
I know. Anyways. Again, there was three covers. In fact, there was four covers to this. I don't know why it doesn't list the fourth one. But there was cover A and B, which were both by Don, which is the battle scene split into two parts. And then there was a cover by Andrew Wildman, which was meant to be the Rare Incentive cover of just Prime standing in a forest for some reason. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a gatefold cover, like a wraparound cover of this.
Originally, the Don one was supposed to be a wraparound.
And they scrapped that because they're idiots?
I don't know. I don't make the decisions.
I got cover A, which is Prime's foot. But I got that because Hot Rod's on it, obviously.
I like the Andrew Wildman one.
And Menacer. I don't know. It's he's standing in a forest. It's G1 Prime, which is good, I suppose.
But he's standing in the forest because he doesn't need to do anything else.
He says, I'm just going to stand here. Anyways, there is a lot of art I want to complain about in this, but we'll get there as we go along. Anyways, we start with a scene which is kind of reminiscent of the beginning of the original Transformers 2007 live-action movie. You know, we find out that Spike had been in the river that he jumped into last issue in that excruciatingly long chase scene. And he was in the river for 3 hours. Epps Light says, but you could have got out at any time. And it's like, what, stand there for them to come back and blow my... And before he gets to say the word ass, he gets interrupted that there's a situation 20 miles northeast. Now, I don't get this, right? Epps Light says, I can see it. And in the next panel, how can he see anything?
I don't know.
He maybe can see, like, a very small explosion, unless Epps Light has, like, supervision.
I think Epps Light has many powers we have yet to realize.
That power being to have a completely bald head?
He is Epps Light.
He is Epps Light. What the hell's going on down there? Is the call. And we get a nice big panel of Menasor and Ultra Magnus, and oh my god, Ultra Magnus looks like he's taking a beating.
Yeah, Menasor's not looking that great either.
Oh yeah, he's bullet holes and dints and... Oh, Hot Rod's there too. I never noticed Hot Rod before. He's stuck right down in the bottom right-hand corner. He's kind of just like squished in there. And we get the fact that this one, Things Fall Apart, Part 5, Earthworks. How's this Part 5? Because Issue 1 was a standalone story?
I would say Thundercracker.
Spotlight Thundercracker, as Issue 4 was known. Okay, so Epps Light says we got one of those gestalts down there. It's actually quite weird to hear them being called that, you know, because like I've called them that for all of my life. And it's kind of like, oh, the combiner teams, and they actually see them typed as gestalts, and maybe like that's just me being like completely airhead and not remembering that they're called that in the comics all the time.
But they haven't been. It's only been recently. The term didn't show up until like the mid-2000s.
Yeah, and it's like I can always remember referring to them in conversations, but then again, so like I'm probably just thinking short term, seeing I can't even remember what age I am half the time.
Well, the term Seeker didn't appear officially until some bio cards in the universe line, I think.
Mm-hmm. But we always call them the Seekers.
And yeah, no that's... one knows why. No, honestly, no one knows. I've checked.
Because no we one... seek him here, we seek him there.
There. He is not the Scarlet Pimpernel. He has never been the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Okay. Okay. We do get the reminder that we haven't seen one of those since New York, so obviously touching on the fact that Devastator got his ass handed to him by Omega Supreme in New York. And it's like, what kind of ordinance do we have on board? And it's against that thing, are you kidding? Why Cyclops got a mustache and flying the helicopter? I've never seen anyone fly a helicopter having to wear ruby quartz glasses before. Or red sunglasses that he could never see through in his life. Yeah. But then again, I suppose the guy in the next panel has red sunglasses on too. We get the return of, I don't think we got his name, did we? The blonde-haired guy who could basically take a Decepticon down with his bare hands.
Do you know what? I actually wish he followed out in his own advice here, where he said, we'll wait until they kill each other, then we'll go down and take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want him to die.
Yeah. Maybe
I want him to run up to Menasor. I want him to run up to Menasor and go, I've got my thing. And realize that this thing is really big. No, do you know what I want? I want Grimlock to land on Earth, look at him, go, Overlord.
And go, oops. That was too easy. Wasn't Overlord. Overlord,
Skywatch was eaten.
Yeah. Obviously, Mr. Goku here wants to fight, that wants to let them kill each other, then go down and get the other ones. And basically, Spike's like, no, get back to base immediately.
He looks very concerned in that panel, doesn't he?
Spike doesn't look anything in this comic book apart from hideous.
Look at the panel above it, though. It's like, I must grit my teeth as hard as humanly possible.
That looks like he's taking a dump when he's constipated. and the poor helicopter pilot's going like, no, not in me cockpit.
Ba-dum-bum.
Anyways, so we get back to Skywatch, we get Spike immediately going to Prime, going, you turned yourself in because your friend was killed. And it's like, no, I didn't do that. It's because we had to change and I couldn't be the person to do that. I hate this monologue. Anyways.
And you're going to hate this comic for it is but one monologue.
I know. And it's Spike saying, yeah, but a lot of things happened. But your friend died. That set it in motion. And Prime's like, yes. Bloody blah. This page, this 1, 2, 3, 4, this 5 panels where we get 3 pictures of Spike and 2 pictures of Prime. Spike looks shit in every panel.
Yes, but his eyes move once every time at least.
Yeah, I know, but why is his head so square? Why does it look so flat?
Can we not read this one because it's depressing as hell?
What, this page?
Yeah, it's just sort of, it's my fault your friend's dead. I overdid it, so it was my fault. Why are you telling me this? Because I'm a good soldier. But I'm not that sure about. I'm a good leader. The end.
Exactly.
I don't want to look at this anymore.
That's that page. Let's turn over. Basically, Spike turns emo for a page. So Spike asks, "Are you serious about making a change?" And it's like, well, "That's why I'm here." And Spike just suddenly believes him. It's like, I believe you're a good leader. There's a situation right now where your men need you. They're making a mess of things. It's like, I'm no longer fit to judge that, but I trust him. Oh, anything with Spike in this book just pains me.
That's because he won't shut the hell up.
It's like, look at the size of the panels. Look at the size of the speech bubbles. Seriously.
We've got 5 or 6 pages of Spike basically telling Prime and other people what to do.
Yeah, basically that's what it is. We'll condense it down. Spike basically says, yeah, well, you've got a situation, you got to go to get your people, you're a pretty good soldier in your day, and it's like, we're going to take a transporter, that'll get you there faster. The general's coming in a few hours. The general is still fucking coming.
It's been a week!
The general has been coming it's a surprise visit? It's just like, oh, the general's coming, but you don't know where.
You've got the leader of the Autobots, a group that, one, any one of them is more powerful than an entire army.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's a group you've been after for the last 3 years. You've got the most important one you could ever get, and you are not down there within 24 hours?
I know.
It's been a week.
It's like, tell the general he escaped. What? You're about, what? What? It's like, tell him I went to look for him. Tell him he escaped. Oh.
Tell him, God.
And then we get the big giant speech bubble. Oh, it's going to get to the city center. Those things are going to wreck New York again. Blah, blah, blah.
Let him. No one cares.
It's like, kill Spike. Please kill Spike. I hate Spike.
Apologies to anyone listening to this thinking, why in God's name are you doing it like this? Why are you moaning? Why are you rushing through all this? Because eventually it gets to a point where we can actually talk about what's going on.
Yeah.
But this is not the point.
Yeah. And let me just comment on this page, that big panel at Prime at the top. He looks shit. What's with the fucking wings behind his shoulders? Why are those big panels on his arms so big? It's like, I don't remember him ever looking like that.
It's a bad angle shot. But...
It's terrible. He's become Hot Rod. He's got Hot Rod's spoiler behind his shoulders. It's like,
well, what? It's the movie design. The wings are based off the movie thing, but, yeah. But I think it's just a bad angle, because overall I have no real problems with Prime's design in this universe.
Yeah, no. Generally, I've been happy with Prime, but that's just terrible looking.
Minus it's his like, crap vehicle mode.
Yeah. Well, it gets something good to do in a few pages' time, I suppose. Anyways, we got one more page to bitch about, because there's Spike with two humongous speech bubbles. Two feckin' things where he just won't shut up. Oh, I'm not going to flush your career away, blah, blah, blah. Basically, it's like, look, I'm going to do this. If you're not with me, granted, I'll not get you fired. If you're going to do it with me, you're taking a chance that we may get fired, but we're doing it either way, you know, with or without you. And that's as simple as it can get down to. And we get Epps Light saying, I can't let you do this because you can't fly for shit. Was that meant to be lighthearted or funny? And then it's like, you should fit in your truck form.
It'd be rather cramped if he was himself, I suppose.
Wait, no, but you see, the thing is, you should fit in your truck form. They never question whether or not he fits. It's just like, you should fit in your truck form. What are you saying that for? Why? It's like, why not be like, oh, you'll get in if you turn into a truck? Or like, ugh. It's just, you should fit in your truck form. You know what that is? It's like fucking Jeopardy. And the answer is, you should fit in your truck form. What's the question, Mikey?
How do you impress a very large lady?
Yes, indeed. And then we get, thank you, pilot, is the reply. Oh, these first, what is it, 8 pages really pain me so much that I'm going to drink some beer right now. Then we go, then we get Epps Light saying, I hope you know what you're doing. Like, let's talk about these first 8 pages now, because I don't want to have to come back to them. They're shit.
Yes.
They're extremely shit. There's way too much exposition. There's way too much boring dialogue.
It's the same problem as before. It's dragging out a scene that could have been done in half the amount of pages.
Yeah.
And, you know, before it was dragging out a bad action scene. Now it's dragging out a bad dialogue scene in an issue that really should be more action-based.
Let me apologize and correct that to 7 pages, because page 2, which is the splash page of Menasor, Hot Rod, and Ultra Magnus, is actually good, even though there's no talking on it whatsoever.
That's why it's good. No one's saying anything, because they're in the middle of a firefight and they don't have time to discuss the moral dilemma.
Indeed. So we'll move on to page 9. We've got Menasor, who has both his hands around Ultra Magnus's, I would say, neck, but his hands encompass his whole upper torso and neck. And we get a very Hot Rod Hulk moment saying, smash him.
I don't like this.
Smash him! And then this is where we start to figure out how on earth they're going to give Menasor a weakness. Because we get 3 different panels. No pull his arms and legs off. No let's see how high we can throw him. I bet if we started turning his head real slow.
Here's a question. Why is there a speech bubble coming out of the arm component?
Yeah, exactly. Should that not... Wait. Is that meant to be from the second arm?
I don't know.
Maybe? Doesn't make sense.
I'll get this out of the way now, because this is a huge complaint. I hate how Costa wrote Menasor. I absolutely hate it. He missed the point with combiners completely.
But in a way, G1 Menasor always had the problem that his components couldn't work together, but not to that degree.
Here's how combiner struck me, right? And tell me if you think I'm completely wrong in this.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 5 or 6 individuals.
Yeah.
When they combine, the individuals cease to be, and their group minds form this new individual who has the memories of each individual, and like Menasor remembers that Motormaster is hated by the rest and they don't have any teamwork, so he's clinically insane.
Yeah.
When they divide, Menasor ceases to be, but they all keep the memories, and then it all repeats the cycle again. You've got a whole distinct individual.
Yeah.
who has the memories and elements of the personalities of each other one, but this individual component ceased to be for the duration of the combination.
Yeah.
I mean, a great way they did it was like in Dreamwave, when Menasor was getting confused, and he basically started thinking like the Stunticons.
Yeah.
And he was just, he didn't know who to go with, which idea to go with. I love that. But this, it's Motor Master wearing the Stunticons.
Yeah.
Menasor is not in this issue. That's Motor Master screaming smash him. That's yeah. What, you know, it's power linking. It's a super mode. It's not a combiner.
Yeah. The way that I look at it, right, is kind of very, very similar to what you're saying. Whenever Menasor is Menasor, when the Stunticons are combined, there's one hive mind. There's a brain that controls Menasor. It's Menasor as the individual. But his weakness is that he has five individual voices in the back of his head all disagreeing. Like multiple personality syndrome. And they all want him to do something different. And that's why he's completely insane and ineffective in certain areas, because not, as you say, none of the five of them can agree. They all don't want Motor Master to be in charge, blah 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 blah. And you're right, this is like the individual components, the individual robot cars, whatever you want to call them, the limbs are all talking to the main body, and it's like, no, that's not how it works. If you wanted it to do it that way, give us square panels like we get in the Deadpool comics, where he's talking to himself with three or four different voices. The color, the square panels are all just painted different colors to show that it's a distinct different version of the voice inside his head. That would have worked so much better than having speech bubbles coming out of every limb.
It's just, like I said, you don't get to see Menasor in this issue, and it bugs me, because we've seen the other combiners in IDW, and it's not like they don't have individual personalities.
Yeah, because like Devastator wasn't like talking out his ass.
No, he was just he was just vicious. That was Menasor. That was Devastator's personality in IDW. He was a monster. He hit things. He wasn't particularly bright. Monstructor was vicious and completely insane. But he was still a unique person on his own. It's just, I hate it so much. I love combiners. I love the concept of combiners. I love the fact you've got ones like Menasor who are so disjointed that it doesn't work. And I love the fact that the Predacons are so united. You've got this completely intelligent, vicious thing that knows that is so much more complete. I mean, I even love the fact that the Protectobots, Defensor, he's the only thing that really unites him is that they want to protect things. But he's still not that great at it because of the conflict in his mind.
Yeah.
But this, it's just, it's Motor Master wearing the other ones.
It's Motor Master going, look at me bling!
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to skip ahead, but there's two lines. Motor Master basically screams, protect me. And Breakdown goes, oh, I'm blind. Breakdown's a leg. Legs don't see. I've checked. I cannot see out of my shin.
I can't. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, we. I'm sure we will comment on that more when we get to it again.
Basically,
but
apart from all that, just how the combiners have played out in this issue, which we'll look back on again, I'm sure, was horrendous to me.
Yeah,
I was afraid what was going to happen, and Mike Costa proved me right.
And I wonder if maybe some of this is due to the fact that this was made on the fly by Swindle, and not in a thingy, but that's not an excuse. But
the only excuse that you could make up that Swindle really doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah, and he hasn't found the way to combine the personalities into the individual yet.
But, or make it anywhere near as scary as any other combiner. Anyway, let's just skip to the one good thing in this comic. The one really, 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 really good thing. Swindle is awesome.
Swindle. So, we get Swindle gloating. You were after me for stealing the combiner technology. You always figured I was going to sell it, but it never occurred to you that I'd figure out how to use it myself because you didn't think I was smart enough. You're not, because you didn't utilize it properly. I like this panel. We get the really good glow and the really silhouette of Swindle, but we see the plane going over it and we get that big black blob and it's like, what the hell? And then we get Optimus Prime's truck mode landing right on top of Swindle.
Well, who's stupid now? Smash.
Exactly. This, who's stupid now?
I think this is one of the other colored pages, by the way.
Yeah, that's kind of slightly different colored.
Yeah, but it just, I love it because I love how Costa's done Swindle. I love it. He's just a lot of fun.
He does seem to write him well.
Yeah, it's just sort of timber, and look at the wheels flying off into the air, you just got a hand sticking out of the ground.
There's a spring. Although High Prime survived that, I've no idea, but anyways.
Rubber tires.
Well, he kind of does bounce up into robot mode, and then we get, I'm assuming that's meant to be blur.
Mm.
In a very un-blur-esque look. I prefer the blur from Ironhide. I definitely prefer that look of him. This is a very light page for text. We get Prime doing that heroic flippy jumpy thing that he did in the 86 animated movie. Shooting Menasor, who drops Ultra Magnus, which is good. I like the fact that Prime's like basically on his back, shooting him in the face.
Yes, but here's something that's annoying. It's working.
Yeah, it shouldn't be working because Prime can't take down a combiner on his own.
Devastator got shot in the face with a fusion cannon. It barely pissed him off.
Now, is it working or is it just distracting? Because it doesn't look like it's really doing an awful lot of damage.
I don't know. It looks like... Look at his chest.
Yeah, right, but that's not where he's getting shot. The chest is just numerous bullets from where Hot Rod and Ultra Magnus, etc. have been shooting him. I don't think he's...
How is that better?
I suppose, yeah, it's like pea shooters. Anyways, we get a little... we jump,
throw a rock at a whale. How often does that work?
Yeah, it's true.
Just like, oh god, I just got an image like running along the beach as whales go by, fucking throwing pebbles at them. Yeah, who's tough now?
I actually really like this. It's like everyone's focusing on the big guy because we have a new combiner, but you should never count out the Constructicons. I like the fact that Bumblebee's getting his ass handed to him.
Yeah. I like that Scrapper's pissed off.
Yeah. Just yeah, like, because know. Basically, you know, Scrapper's like, hey, wait, that's our shtick. What the hell are you doing? And we get a nice big purple energy discharge, and we get a panel of Bumblebee lying on his back looking up, and Thundercracker saying, I never liked those guys having shot him. Bumblebee, obviously really confused by this, you know. We do get a little bit of monologue. It's not so bad, this, because it's Thundercracker, and Thundercracker has become interesting. It's like, well, Swindle's a Combaticon, he's a liar, he's going to keep fighting no matter what. I was a seeker, I have honor, I meant what I said, I don't know why we're fighting anymore. Swindle's not smart, but he thinks he is, and he had no time to slap together the whole thing together. He can probably take it. Now I've got to go help Rodimus. See, that line there to me suggests that Thundercracker knows that this combiner technology is not put together right. Mm. Now, why Thundercracker would know it's not put together right is beyond me. But that's kind of like the voice of the fans there going like, hey, wait, what the hell? So,
I worry for Thundercracker's future.
Yeah.
Well, I keep on jumping ahead with this one, don't I?
Yeah, we will get to that. We get a panel with Motor Master and friends shouting for a weapon. A sword! Not a sword, that's stupid. Oh, not the rocket.
Swindle in his hole.
Swindle crawling into the ground. Oh, not the rocket! because obviously, we'll call him Menasor because I don't want to have to keep saying Moto Master and friends because it's too long. Menasor in inverted or brackets, quotations. I think that's a very sort of like nod to the fact that Menasor did have a sword as a toy. But it's just like, not a sword, that's stupid.
Give him a sword? You want a sword?
It's so bad. It's bad. It's just bad.
What are you trying to say here?
It is bad. we get a panel of Bumblebee who looks horrendous.
Yes.
That is a terrible drawing. Prime, they don't know how to work together. Don't bother focusing on the head. Break them apart. How the hell did Bumblebee know that?
Because they're arguing? I don't know.
You see, but... Anyways, we get a panel of Manasaur, who does have a sword.
Although he ripped it off the...
Yeah.
He was ripping off the rocket, you know?
Yeah, he ripped a big panel that just happens to look like a scimitar for some reason. And we get Prime telling Bumblebee to give the order. Bumblebee does so, telling him to target Dead End. This is paining me to read this. Manasaur saying, Motor Master saying, stop pulling on me. We get Dead End saying, stop whining. And is that Breakdown saying you need to swing the sword?
Might be Wild Rider. Because it's coming from their left.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Although it's missed. Oh, no, that's his hip, I can see. Yeah, so you can't really tell. But it would be, you're right, it would be Wild Rider if it was coming from his left leg. And then Prime giving the order, even though he told Bumblebee to do it, to now target Motor Master. And here we get the bit that you're talking about. Protect me, protect the chest. Nah! We get Dragstrip saying, no, hold it together, you idiot. We get Breakdown saying, what's going on? I can't see.
Shins can't see.
And here we get Prime using the butt of his rifle again. This seems to be an ongoing thing.
He just likes to hit people. But do you know what's annoying? That's it for Venusaur. The last we see of them are shadows in the back of the page as they fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah, because we just see them fall apart. Hook. Is it Hook?
Kind of. It's not.
It could be Hook.
Mm.
So we get Prime contacting Spike, telling that they could come in and sweep them up. And Swindle, looking a little worse for wear, still crawling out of his hole, going, whoa, we got to get out of here. And then we get Camouflage Mechs. Oh.
In the desert, because they won't stand out in the least.
Yeah, I want those cars. Do not let the race car and the black one get away. He's still convinced. He still wants those as his personal garage.
I need to impress the ladies. She won't. You're one from issue two. She won't talk to me if I've just got a Volkswagen.
Spike literally does want the Stunticons as his personal garage. I'm convinced of it. Red Alert, we've got human Scourge forces closing in. What do we do? Prime. Oh, rah, rah. I'm sorry, but I'm not in charge here. I'm returning myself into their custody. But what happened? Look what happened. You need to. We need you. Oh, I just hate all the writing in this issue. I came to help, but with decision stands, we can't go back to the way things were. You've chosen Bumble to be in charge. I wouldn't interfere with that, even if I wanted to. I believe in him because I believe in all of you. Good luck. And
actually, that's not much. That's not much of a vote of confidence for Bumblebee's actual ability to lead. I believe in him because I believe in all of you. Basically, any of you could do his job. He's just the guy you picked.
Yeah.
Not that I actually think he's any good at the job, but however.
Yeah. So basically, Prime buggers off. Red Alert looks to Bumblebee and it's like, we stay. And it's like, what? I completely echo Red Alert's mentality here. It's like, what? But obviously, Bumblebee gives his reason. We can't keep going to ground. Should that not be going underground? Like, we can't keep going to ground. Living like fugitives, we work this out now. Nobody make a move, we're talking this out. And Spike's like, you're Bumblebee? It's like, you're my new car. I am.
I shall drive you.
Good, Prime vouchers for you. It looks like you have some wounded here. Let's see if we can help.
Do you notice how their version of helping is pointing guns at everyone?
Yeah, there's a big tank. That is Dead End and Dragstrip, though, that they've got the tank pointed at.
I can just I don't know, it looks more like Red Alert because he's got like the same knees and red legs and stuff.
Yeah, I know, but also the color on the chest. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, you're probably right. But the other one looks definitely more like Ragstrip, the silhouette. But this issue is far from perfect.
On the ground while we help you, Red Alert. We will help you as long as you don't move.
So here we get Spike with his feckin' exposition again. I've seen the past few days that I'm convinced that the Autobots are blah, 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 blah. I'm willing to grant you extraterrestrial status here provisionally. So basically, Spike has the ability to say that the Autobots can live on Earth. I don't think so. And it's what are those provisions? Listen, both of us can expend resources, chiseling a way to work at each other, or we can work together to neutralize actual threats like the one today. And in return, you'll stop hunting us. In return, you get to expand out of your digs here and operate out of our base in the southwest. So basically, they're all going to go sit in a hangar the way they did in Revenge of the Fallen.
Can we go outside today? No.
It's like, so you can keep an eye on us and steal our technology, being there, done that. It's like, and so you can have a greater access to energy resources and the information collection. Right now, you're living in a cave.
It's a nice cave.
Kick a man when he's dying.
It's a nice cave. I like the cave.
And it's like, look, you don't trust me. I've been locking up your friends. I don't trust you. You're a gigantic alien robot.
To be fair, Bumblebee probably has more reason.
Yeah, and it's like,
I don't trust you because you're not like me. I don't trust you because you've been kidnapping all my friends.
I know. basically, he says that Prime taught him that it's time to look at the future differently. Frankly, I don't see how you can say no. We're treating five of you wounded right now because your triage specialist wouldn't be able to keep up with this kind of demand. Says who? And who the hell is that blue car? Is that
Mirage?
Is it Mirage?
No, because I did add a drag strip's very cold.
I seriously think Mirage topped himself in that issue like we thought he would to, because he's just vanished.
Mirage just was sort of standing there, Thundercracker handed him a gun and walked away.
Boom. and we get a nice silhouette of Ultra Magnus saying, "Where's Swindle?" Ratchet, Magnus, I said you need to relax. I had to reboot your entire system. Swindle, where is he? He was one of the Decepticons that slipped through the net. He and a few Constructicons. No, 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 not again. Didn't anyone try to pursue him? Pursue him. Oh, Magnus, just die already. And then we get Hot Rod sitting like a little lost puppy on a rock.
It is. Sharpening his claws.
This is not. I hate this version of Hot Rod. He's not feckin' Wolverine. Oh, dear. So, basically, we get Magnus saying that he's gonna arrest Hot Rod for treason.
Rodimus.
I'm not calling him Rodimus. He's not Rodimus.
Dead Rodimus.
But he's not Rodimus. He's Hot Rod. So they're busy that he's arrested for treason because he colluded with Decepticons, and who then launched an attack on several fellow Autobots who were badly injured. And Hot Rod's like, no, I was only trying to get off the planet. And this is where it all turns south. Silver Streak, Blue Streak, Grey and Red Guy. We're all fine until that. They brought in those Decepticons. You talked to Cindy, and now we don't even have a ship anymore. No. And Bumblebee actually grows a set here. I think this is probably a positive of this issue.
Bumblebee sort of coming into the role.
Yeah, enough of this. Calm down. Back off, Magnus. I like this. Bumblebee, my jurisdiction is clear. Stay out of this or what? I am in charge here now. Not you. Not your ridiculous statuses. Who do you even answer to anymore? Which is kind of true. I answer to a body of governors that's been in panel 2. Wrong. On this planet, you have to answer to me. We have to start accepting what we see and not how we remember things. We obviously have Bumblebee saying that we've lost the Matrix. We've felt lost since we lost it. We've no direction. But we did lose the Matrix. And until we get it back, it chooses someone else, then I'm in charge. so you'll listen to me and you will obey. That's good. Like, yeah. Ultra Magnus, I'm a little yellow car. You will obey me.
I will bite your knee and you will not like it.
No Autobots being arrested today, regardless of their mistakes. And we just get a pretty shocked looking panel.
Yeah, but you notice he's saying, oh, we lost the Matrix, but we can't do anything until the Matrix is found and it chooses someone else, and someone is standing in the corner looking slightly suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Matrix?
Yes, yes. Look at that red and yellow paint job. Isn't that lovely? and we get a really shoddy panel. That is a really shoddy panel of Jetfire, Silverstreak, and I'm assuming that's Magnus. Yeah, it is.
Mm.
Now, Rodimus, if you... Rodimus?
You said Rodimus.
He's stealing my ship! Oh,
which may or may not have Ironhide's corpse in it.
Yeah, and it's, oh, you gotta be kidding me, coming from Jetfire. He's leaving the planet without us, he's running. What a card. Well, Bumblebee, I'm glad you're here, because it looks like you're the only leader we have left.
What a backhanded compliment.
That was like kicking the guy in the nads and going, you're great! You're great! You're great! And the last panel of the page is Magnus's shuttle flying away with Hot Rod in it. At the helm. And we get the end. And we get the preview of next issue. Guess who still functions with a big
I'm actually looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
So what's going to start on?
Just how shit this issue really was.
It was not good.
It was not good at all. I don't think there was any part of this issue I truly enjoyed.
I liked Bumblebee.
No, well, okay, I said there is the positive. The positive is Bumblebee kind of steps up to the plate, but it wasn't enough to save the issue for me.
No, especially since that we had a whole miniseries which was supposed to do that and didn't.
Yeah. Like, they basically ingratiated Bumblebee in, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 panels?
We had Thundercracker coming out in his own.
I suppose that's true. The Thundercracker moment was nice.
Although I am very, very worried right now about what he's going to do with Thundercracker.
No, Thundercracker just vanishes. And I know we've talked about this off mic or off recording. Is Thundercracker with Rodimus / Hot Rod?
I don't care. I just don't want him to be an Autobot.
I don't think he'll be an Autobot. I actually think we'll have Hot Rod and Thundercracker out as freelancers.
What, a comedic police duo?
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon, the robot years.
Actually, that would be really cool, a mini-series of Hot Rod and Thundercracker.
Look at us as we travel through space solving crimes.
Thundercracker is Danny Glover. Every panel he just goes, I'm too old for this. And Hot Rod just hang on, blah, 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 hit you with the tank! it's just, needs to be done. IDW, I demand it. Transformers, the Lethal Weapons, Hot Rod and Thundercracker. So do you want more JD, I retire. Not today, Thundercracker. yeah.
Diplomatic immunity. It's just been revoked. And he just, unfortunately, he misses and shoots the innocent hostage behind him. Ooh.
That sounds about right. I don't even know if I think I have anything else to say on this issue.
In the positive?
There's loads of negative I can say, but I really don't want to waste my breath. Let's talk about the art for a start. It's beyond poor. It's even shit.
I don't like this style for the most part, especially faces for Transformers. The human art was very, very low quality.
There's only one human panel I think I like, and it's the bottom of page 6.
Where Spike sort of looking smug?
Yeah. No. I will
look directly above that. How could he be more dull surprise? I don't like him face with a plank.
Seems to be able to draw Epps light okay.
Yeah, but he's even got bad panels.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, like the one on page 8.
Mm.
He's got like the biggest forehead and eyes that are just like... Wow. But yet the bottom panel of page 8 is a good one of Epps light too. Oh, inconsistency. Menasor's design I never was a fan of, as you're aware.
Mm. Here's a question. What do you think of the depowering of the combiners?
This just took a big dump on Menasor. It's terrible. It's like, that's not Menasor. And I hope and I pray that our theory of the fact that Swindle just hasn't got a fecking clue what he's doing and hasn't utilized the combiner technology correctly. It is true, because if that is how they're going to manage combiners in this universe, I don't want them using combiners anymore.
I top of another positive.
What's that?
Swindle is fantastic.
Yeah, Swindle is very good. Yeah.
Swindle is awesome. He's funny and he's entertaining and everything. But let's see. The Atlas crap. The story was... The story didn't need to be told. Prime didn't need to be in this issue at all.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do anything. He got Menasor to give him a piggyback ride.
Yeah. Because it was Bumblebee that figured out how to take Menasor down.
Yeah, and it's true. Just...
I figured it out. You know how Bumblebee knew how that was working? How Menasor's weakness was? The same way that Hot Rod knew last issue that Bumblebee had been in contact with that guy. With the army man. It's just like, it's magic. We don't have to explain.
Do you know what this issue feels like? Incredibly rushed.
It's very rushed, yeah.
Because I think it's suffering from the fact that IDW are doing 6-issue prints, trade paperback prints. So everything has to be in little sagas. But I agree with you. I don't want to go on about this issue anymore. But I'll sum up my thoughts and then you can say what you like.
Yeah.
It's a very rushed issue. It does, as I said before, Costa's writing will be proved by how can he write characters and fighting to the same level. I'm hoping to Christ the reason this is the way it is because he had to rush issues 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise he cannot write fight scenes to save his life.
Yeah.
I still like Costa's writing. He's still an excellent character writer. But, oh dear God. I think this issue has terrible pacing. Very poor art. I think Don was rushed when he was doing this as well. I think the colouring is the best bit about it. Mm-hmm. But I would have liked to have used one artist, because now that when you start going over it, you can really see one really emphasized shadows. And there's kind of a time difference, because one guy is doing it like late evening, the other guy is doing it in, it's like the middle of the day.
Yeah, I've just noticed that, yeah, the difference in the sky colour, yeah. Etc.
I liked Thundercracker's couple of panels. I'm hoping they don't make him an Autobot. There's a couple of hints for what's coming up next. Prime's going to go back and discuss things with the human. Rodimus is going off to steal the Matrix from Mega. Actually, I want to see that for one reason only.
Mm-hmm.
It will not end well for him.
No.
Ah, I've got the Matrix. Oh, crap. It worked in Galvatron. I'm not Galvatron. Bang. it's just this issue comes together very, very poorly. It doesn't take away from issues 1, 2, and 4,
mm-hmm.
but 5 and 6 really were not particularly strong. Were very bad, and 3 was a fairly weak issue as well. So basically, Costa's first full run, half of it was good, half of it was jumping between poor and dire.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anything else I can say? I'm looking forward to seeing Megatron come back, because I really am more interested in the Decepticons than the humans and the Autobots at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
I still like the new Prime. I still think he's a good character, but he's just forced into this issue, so he's forced to do stupid things. And I hope Galvatron shows up soon and makes everyone really, really scared. And then I hope Thunderwing shows up and scares him.
I want to say, if this six-issue arc... Now, there have been three good issues, as you said. The highlight issue being Thundercracker's issue. But if this is the quality of story arcs that we're going to get for the ongoing, this ongoing will not last.
It will have another reboot.
Not even that. It'll just get dumped completely and we'll go back to miniseries after miniseries. And it's just not good enough. Like, I feel like a teacher writing Mike Costa's report card at the end of the term. Mike tries hard, has better potential, but isn't doing enough right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like... And to be honest, I agree with you that I'm looking forward to seeing the Decepticons, because I really think this is what this lacks. There's no good bad guys. Like, I didn't get the feeling that Swindle and the Constructicons, the Stunticons, and the couple of other randoms that we got were strong enough to be a villain. Menasor was completely mishandled. Megatron, Starscream, and Soundwave, bring them back. Give them something good to do, because we know we're going to see them all. Bring them back to Earth. Like, see, this is the thing. My worry now is they bring the Decepticons back to Earth, and we just get All Hail Megatron Part 2.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? And I don't have an awful lot of faith in Mike. he has some shining moments. He has shown us that he can write character development really well. Maybe Mike Costa should give up the ongoing and actually do spotlights. Just do spotlights where he's focusing on giving you some development of character for a specific person, specific character, rather than trying to tell an epic, large story, because he has failed at that with his six issues. I really have got to the point where I'm like, I'm paying money for this. You know, I felt like that with Bumblebee. I paid money for that, and I want to burn it. You know, it's like, die in a fire. No, it's just, Mike, I don't mean, I know you're not listening, but I'm going to address you directly. Mike, I don't mean to be rude, and I don't mean to be mean, but there's so much better you could do with this. Way much better.
Mike, you're a talented man, but you must do better.
Indeed. You only get a C for this semester.
You could have gotten an A. You were on the way to an A.
Mm-hmm.
You stopped studying, you went out, you got drunk, and look what happened.
Indeed. Now you have to do a reset, starting with issue 7. I really don't want to talk about that issue anymore.
Do you want to... any hopes for the next one?
Knowing that it's a completely Decepticon issue, I'm going to hope that we get a proper explanation as to why we were told that Megatron was dead in Continuum when he's not.
So very not.
I want issue 7 to be more of a flashback so we can get a fill-in on what exactly has been happening.
So what, something like taking place over the three-year period?
Yeah, yeah. And then ending with why, or ending with Megatron standing tall at the end.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a couple of things that are brought up in All Hail Megatron I'd like to be touched on, Dakota. The effect the Matrix seemed to be having on Starscream, because it seemed to be actually affecting his brain. The idea of the likes of Razorclaw trying to take control, I'd like to see that there's been some sort of power struggle, even if it was just political. You know, not... There's been a huge fight, because personally I think Razorclaw could take Starscream, but... And I'd like to maybe hear a bit of mention from Overlord. Just, it doesn't have to be like, We have reports that he's let Garrus 9 Starscream, and you find out that the reason Megatron never reacted is because Overlord doesn't know what happened on Earth, kind of something like that.
Yeah.
You know, just starting to going, well, we're lucky Megatron wasn't online at the time, or else we all have diverted our forces to go and get him, and we're lucky Overlord doesn't realize what's going on with Megatron, or he'd be here right now, kind of, something like that. You know, you can do it in one panel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shockwave. I'd like to see something to do with Shockwave. I want to know what Shockwave's been doing for the last 3 years.
I want to know where they've been for the last 3 years.
They've been on Char.
Yeah, it's like, Team Char! It's just... I want
to see the Dead Universe back again soon.
Mm.
Would you, I mean, how long would you... If you were to pick a number of issues before we hit the Dead Universe again, what would it be?
I don't know. Would I want it in this next arc? Not necessarily, but that depends on what the plans are for the Decepticons. It might be nice to have the Decepticons looking like they're almost a full power, to have Galvatron et al. Come through from the Dead Universe and basically own the Decepticons.
Yeah. And then Megatron comes back online in the last couple of minutes, and we have, oh shit.
Yeah, like we have a Magmatron? What? A Megatron?
If Magmatron showed up, that would be awesome.
We're like, yeah, Magmatron. It's like, who the...
I am the great... Hang on, I'm only coming up to your shins.
No, have Megatron and Galvatron having a nose-to-nose or something. And
yeah. Because we've been waiting for those two to kick it off since... Escalation?
Yeah.
We're kind of owed at this point.
So it's like... I don't know. I'm hesitant about saying have it at this next arc. Is it too soon?
Mm.
But it depends on what direction the Decepticons go.
It might be nice to have Galvatron's crew just go to Earth.
Yeah.
And just be too... I'd like an arc where the Autobots didn't come out on top at the end. I'd like, you know, he shows up, he is after something. Ultra Energon or something. Basically takes everyone out, but he's now completely insane and he's being controlled by the darkness. And like he tries to finish off Prime, but realizes the darkness is going to go to him instead, and then has to leave Earth or something so it will stay with him or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just any I don't know, lots of ideas, but until issue 7 kicks things off.
This is where this issue has made my brain turn off.
Mm.
It has numbed me so much. In the respect that, like, there was so much potential and it's just been squandered, that I don't even want to try to second guess what they're going to do with the Decepticons and where they're going to go with the next arc, because I know ultimately I'm just going to be disappointed if I get something built up in my head.
Mm.
You know, it's like, this comic is the complete opposite of Wreckers. With Wreckers at the end of the issue, you're sitting asking yourself questions going, oh, wouldn't it be cool if this happened? Would you do this? Would you do that? Blah, 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 blah. And when you read an issue of Ongoing, you set it down and go, right, how can I do something to distract me from the fact that I just read that pop? I'm becoming Ender. It's like, seriously.
Really like Ender.
Yeah, McFeely Light and Ender Light.
Hey, we have titles.
Woo! At least we're not Iron Feely.
a man who spends too much time in his own. Actually, no. Iron Feely right now would be Ironhide. And if he'd been in this issue, like Menasor, he's primed to fight Menasor, and he's just... You could just see Ironhide standing in the back, just sort of Kevin Costner, leaping in front of the bullet, and like with the arm in the sling. And
but it's like, no, no, Prime, don't go up against him. I want to kiss you and hug you and call you George. no, I don't. Oh, I don't know. I really. This is what this issue has done to me. It's left me speechless.
In a bad way.
In a bad way. Let's focus to the future. What have we got coming out within the next few weeks? I know next week we've got Wreckers issue 5.
Am I happy or sad about that?
Happy because it's out, but sad because it's the end.
we've got Drift coming soon, don't we?
Yeah. And the thing is, so like, and you're a frequenter of the IDW boards. I don't go there. But our good friend Lady Rec, Amy, who I've been talking to, has informed me and showed me a few bits from the IDW forums that the word on the underground, on the lowdown, is that Wreckers 5 is going to answer everything.
It's hinted at that if basically James Roberts said, I think it was in the Moonbase 2, that if there's something was brought up, we'll give you an answer for it, but don't expect every answer to be completely clean cut.
Yeah.
You know, there are going to be a few things that are coming out of this miniseries, but it is intended to be mostly self-contained.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because we still don't know what the Achilles virus is.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got most of the other things on some level hinted at. And anything that had a wider aspect, like where's the Grimlock, what's Shockwave up to, I think we've got as much as we're going to get out of them.
I want to know where Grimlock is.
I'm telling you, he's just sitting on a pile of corpses going, there's Overlord. No, it's not. Oh, God, that one's Overlord too. Oh.
It's like, I will kill you all until you give me Overlord. Give me him.
Dinobots new miniseries, they have to bring Grimlock back from the brink. It'd be fantastic. Give it to Nick Roach.
Mm. You know what I envision what they did to Grimlock? You remember the old Street Fighter movie when they were making Blanka?
Yeah.
Whenever they were like showing him like all of that horror and manipulation and like mutilation and all of that through the eye goggles to turn him evil, to give him that killer instinct. I can imagine that that's what they did to Grimlock. They strapped him to a table, stuck like this audio-visual unit on his head, and made him watch the pit fights and episodes of My Little Pony.
And just pages of Bumblebee flashing.
Yeah, it's like, you will read Bumblebee, Grimlock. You will read Bumblebee and like it. No!
No, it makes no sense continuity-wise, and the writing is poor.
Meet Grimlock, rip optics out!
I just like, he reaches up, he just breaks free of the straps, crushes the first person he sees, and just says, Overlord, Bumblebee, they're everywhere! They've made some sort of unholy duo!
Yeah, dear. So next week, in Mikey's final comic corner for a period.
For a while, anyway.
For a period, yes, because Mikey's got to go dig up dead things for a while.
Yep.
And it's not the bodies that he killed.
No, I'm not digging them up. Do you realize how long it takes to dig those holes?
I know. 6 foot's a long way to dig down.
I'm not like Jai. I don't feel the need to bring them back up to the surface after I'm done with them. Jai just sort of gets bored and go, he gets bored on Sundays and just digs up his old conquests and says, I did that.
It's like Stabby Stabby Productions presents.
Stabby Stabby Productions' next video will be how to bury a body in your backyard.
And put lime down to get rid of the smell. Anyways, no. Our next Comic Corner is going to be Mikey's last for a little while. You can all post your crying on the Nerdsphere.
Or cheers, whichever you prefer.
Yes. Next week, obviously, she'll be a single issue cover, I'm sure. Because I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about Wreckers issue 5.
It's horrible if they cocked it up.
Oh, don't even. No. They can't. They really can't, can they?
I trust Jick Roachards.
Yeah, Jick Roachards is the man. But if you have anything to say about this Comics Corner, or if you have anything you want us to discuss about Wreckers next week. And Pred, that doesn't mean go and post, don't do an S&M joke, because that's just not going to happen. go to the new website, thenerdsphere.blogspot.com, where you've got our news page, our blog, and you've got access to the Nerdsphere forum. And post and let us know. And obviously, as I said, post your kind farewells to Mikey so we can read some of them to him next week before he leaves us for a while.
First person to say burn him will have a visit from me.
And next week being a Wreckers week, means we should have Amy with us, Lady Rec herself.
I can finally have a decent conversation with.
Shut up.
I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
I want my Grimlock back.
No one's supposed to know that until I get the bits.
Oh, right, yes. I keyed. I didn't.
He said nothing! You heard nothing!
I will flash my men in blacklight. Go back and listen to the Comics Corner again. You don't remember it. Anyways, for the penultimate time.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Mikey.
Goodbye, Mikey.
Now for some music, I'm sure. Matt, play something cool.
And I will always love Prime.
Oh, no, I won't, because sometimes he's a bit of a wanker.
And that was our oddity track for this week, or part one of this week. But whatever, that was Kamen Rider Double, the instrumental version, or Hard Boiled Extreme. This is me plugging in again, just to let you know that what's coming up next was the remainder of the alternate episode 36, where the show was started by Phil and Owen. So you're going to hear a little bit of discrepancy. I've decided for the most part to keep this intact. This is all the existing footage after the corruption. Basically, we recorded in bits and bobs, and the majority of the news was lost, which is why you got a little bit of news from me. But, however, the intro remained intact, and the listeners' questions remained intact. So, here's your double dose of Owen. So, let's dwell sideways and go into a parallel world where episode 36 was not started by me on my own, but was in fact started by Hot Rod G1 and Onky Excalibur. Bye-bye for now. I will be back.
Welcome to episode 36 of the Autobot City podcast. You may be wondering, hey, wait, Phil's hosting again. Matt has had to not be here for the beginning of the show this week. He will be with us later for the listeners' questions at the end of the show. So it's going to be a very Phil-heavy show again. But I'm not on my own. Somebody woke up.
What? You're not?
What? What?
You're not?
Slow. Owen's here.
Oh, yeah, I'm here, guys. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it's not too bad. We basically got Owen out of bed for a change.
Yeah.
And decided to have him on the show, considering he was the founding father of the Autobot City.
You guys, it's okay. You guys can look at me as the Don. It's okay.
You're like the Jaga of the Autobot City. You just turn up with sage advice and cussing every so often. Anyways, how's your week been, Owen?
This week has been fine. This week has been relaxing. Last week, though, was crazy because last week was finals as well as graduation. I have finally graduated college. So I have my bachelor's in English and, you know, I'm a history minor as well. So I've made absolutely sure that I can't get a job. Woohoo!
Gotta more love those school things that never serve purpose in the real life. It's like Pythagoras' theorem in math. When have you ever been standing anywhere and going, oh, the sum of the hypotenuse, oh, shut up. Anyways.
Yeah. I knew one guy that actually would kind of do that, but he would get smacked upside the head every time he would do it, so he just eventually stopped.
He was smacked upside the head so much that he actually forgot Pythagoras' theorem.
Yeah. Well, you know, you would ask him to, you know, recite his ABCs, and he'd be like, A, B, Q, and you're like, great, yeah.
It's like, thanks, you made me forget P.
Yeah. And, like, everything between B to Q, I don't remember.
Yeah. So, class, is that pretty much it?
Yeah, so that's the reason, and for those of you people, that's the reason why I haven't been posting on YouTube, reason why I haven't, you know, been on the podcast or anything like that, is because I've been busy with this assignment. Sorry, guys, but I'm back, and hopefully I will continue. Let's see, other than that, I've been playing the new Monster Hunter game, which has been pretty fun. I haven't really gotten any new figures lately. I've been kind of on a tight budget, but other than that.
Well, my week has been, and wait for it, decade. I've gotten into Kamen Rider. Because of Matt and Andy. I'm working my way through the series. I'm about 23 episodes in.
They're infectious, aren't they?
I can remember taking the piss out of Matt and everybody. Everybody who I just made fun of for watching that crap Japanese shit. I normally don't like to read subtitles. I don't want to read. I'm watching TV.
See, I love reading subtitles.
But I gave it a go. Andy showed me, I think it was, I can't remember, it was a toy. It was the Kamen Rider Knight from Ryuki toy, and I ordered it, having never watched an episode. And he was like, yeah, him and Matt were like, yeah, watch Decade, blah, 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 blah. So I've been watching it via VO, and as I say, I'm about 23 episodes in, and I'm loving it. Oh, to the point I bought myself a K-Touch. I'm bidding on a Deca driver, and I have my eye on a card booker. So, yeah, I'm sucked in. Aim to go back and watch Ryuki to see Knight, because he is the reason why I started watching, because he's just feckin' awesome.
Yeah, I've actually, like you, I've recently been watching some of Decade. I think I'm like one or two episodes in. It's been just this week I've been able to kind of watch this stuff. But I've also been watching, been trying to track down some of the Super Sentai series. I've actually been like trying to find like the first one, which was Cardo Super Sentai, or it wasn't Cardo. It was it had something to do with playing cards. I know that much. And it was for everything that I've seen of it, it looks pretty freaking awesome.
So apart from my my foray into Kamen Rider, the only other real thing I've had is I bought myself a Nerf gun. I have my Nerf bow that Nicole bought me for my birthday, my Nerf Big Bad bow. I bought myself a Nerf Maverick Rev 6 pistol, which kind of looks like the gun from Hellboy.
Big baby.
And
You were showing me pictures of this, and I've already told you, but listeners out there, listen to this. I'm actually trying to make a Hellboy cosplaying costume, and I've been debating about the Silmarillion, which is Hellboy's big freaking revolver, or Big Baby, which, looking at the picture that you've sent me, I really, really, really want.
What's that? Owen, can you hear a noise?
Yeah, I do. That noise, it sounds like British pretentiousness and clotted cream and...
Hi, this is Time Lord.
No! Damn it, I need to get out of the host chair.
Yes, you
Welcome
did.
Back, man.
Get up, Sly.
Hey, Matt. Hi.
Oh God, I can only apologize profusely for having to blink and bail on you guys before recording.
It's okay, we managed.
But never mind, I'm here, the main host of the show, the boss of the Nerdsphere, and all that other stuff is here for the closing moments. Yeah,
indeed.
But you never know. Before the closing moments, we got the listeners' questions.
Oh, we do indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yay. I'll tell you what.
And they're the most important questions.
I'll tell you what, Phil. This is going to be another ratings winner. I'm trying to say that without making my ass sound shit.
Well, because I was the host?
Yeah, because I weren't here.
Oh, you're here now, though, and that just
oh,
makes
shit.
It
that means the brains are going to dip.
No, not me.
Guys,
everybody
I'm
can
here.
Turn off now.
I'm here. You know the ratings are going to be utter crap.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But never mind, you know what, we carry on, we plod on. Shall we get on with some listeners' questions?
Let's do that.
Let's do it.
And we start off with the Jerbear himself, Wheelbreaker 41, or Jeremy, who starts off with saying, question one, what is the number one Transformer toy that you always wanted but still do not have in your collection today? That was absolutely terrible.
Let me apologize, Jeremy. I apologize with all of my heart and soul.
I'm trying to cheer myself up here. Come on, he'll be fine.
Okay. Transformer toy I've always wanted but still do not have in my collection. It's got to be MicroMaster Hot Rod.
Yes. You're insane for that toy. This is like, if you ever come across a Star Convoy,
mm-hmm.
you're going to tell like that 9-year-old kid, hey, you can keep your stinking brick. I'm keeping this guy, aren't you?
Well, see, the thing is, I could have got Star Convoy at Auto Assembly last year. It was £60. I'm not spending £60 on MicroMaster Hot Rod with a free Convoy toy. No.
You're insane. I can respect that.
Because I'm pretty convinced if I get myself MicroMaster Hot Rod, I've got at least one of each variant of Hot Rod that's ever been in production. I'm pretty sure of it. Although there's probably some obscure, real weird one. Now, I'm not saying I've got every Hot Rod toy. I'm saying I've got a G1 Hot Rod. I've got a G1 Target Master. I've got a G1 Rodimus. I've got the Henke Hot Rod. I've got the Classics Hot Rod. I've got Reveltech Hot Rod. I've got Titanium's Hot Rod. You know, I'm going, like, this is what I'm saying. The mold, you know? I don't necessarily need the black repaint of the Henke. You know, the Genthi right. one that Dave got for free. Well, I don't need that, you know? But yeah, MicroMaster Hot Rod.
Owen, go on, dude.
Again, mine would have to be, let's see, the G1 Dinobots. I probably have said this a couple thousand times on other podcasts and other listener question type things with other people, but, you know, it always frustrates me because when I don't have the funds for the month to get, you know, those figures, you know, they're always at this ridiculously low price that I would pay if I had the extra cash to pay for them. And then when I do have that extra scrap of cash to pay for the amount that I want, it's always at this ridiculously high price for all of them, and there's no way in the world that I'm paying for them that.
But
what about you, Matty Boo?
I was going to say, if you had the money, Owen, what would be the toy?
It would again be G1 Dinobots. I have such a love for them. And then probably that or the Dino Force.
What, the Trans?
Because they're pretty badass, too.
Yeah. Okay, me? Well, I've already got the toy that I've been wanting for like 20, nearly 30-odd years. Thank you, Owen!
No problem.
Yeah, that was a nice little segue. So,
I was so just going to say there was other people involved, but
I know. Thank you, Sean, Toya, Hulkster,
Jamie.
I don't know because none of them.
Alex, actually, I think. Moon.
I think an awful lot of them have never actually stepped up and said, "Hey, look, I contributed to this," you know. So I can't.
Just thank the Transformers community, and you'll get them.
Yeah. So it's really, really hard for me to figure out what could be potentially my next Holy Grail because I've got it. It's really, really hard. So I haven't got that yearning factor that I had with G1 Shockwave because I've got a G1 Shockwave. But if there was another toy out there that I would really, really like, just for the sheer fact that I've got him, and not that I particularly want to yearn for him, but for the fact that he's the fact that, just to say I've got one would be a Brave Max. That's it. I've got pretty much all the toys I've always been after. I've got my God Jinrai. I've got my G1 Shockwave. I've got I've got part of what I've always wanted, which is the G1 Seekers and the G1 Dinobots. I'm very concise in if there was something I've wanted, I pretty much fight for it and then I get it. It may take me years, but I get there in the end. So I've pretty much got all the toys I've always wanted. I'm getting like Unicron at Auto Assembly. There's been a pre-order put down for that, so I'm guessing for sheer basic, hey, I've got it, is a Brave Max. I'm going to go and rob Rogers' one because I know where there is one, but that's beside the point. question two is, what Transformer toy would you like to see be made that hasn't yet? Also, what genre of toy line would you like to see it be made in? Animated, Beast Wars, Revenge of the Fallen, etc. Bill?
It would need to be more animated toys. Warpath. Let's see, who else?
The Constructicons.
The Constructicons. Master Yokotron. Omega Supreme. They just need to make, like, the proper oil slick, Cyclonus, Spitor, Striker. I know we're getting Rodimus. We'll get Ironhide. So we need Hotshot. We need Red Alert.
Brawn.
Like, seriously, Hasbro, you cut off your own blood supply by stopping animated toys. I would have bought every single one of those things.
Yeah.
God forbid we don't need yet another Bumblebee.
Well, we are getting Hydrodive Bumblebee, so. But yeah, I've proved my point with this because I've, as you well know, I've got my animated Japanese RC, which should be with me in about a week or so, thanks to Kapow Toys. I've got my Rodimus Minor on pre-order. I've got my Blackout in pre-order. Once I get my monies back in order and once they're available or closer to the time they come out, I'll be getting Wingbeard Prime and I'll be getting the Hydrodive Bumblebee or Backpack Bumblebee as they're calling them. And I'll get the Ironhide when it comes out. Animated toys, anything and everything you want to release. Mm-hmm. Especially Warpath, because Warpath looked cool.
Yeah. I would actually agree with you on that. But if I absolutely had to pick one character that has never had a toy ever, I would have to say I would like to have a Nova Prime, and maybe have him be like I don't know, maybe have it be Universe or something. I don't know. That's just.
Matt, before you answer this, let me just say, on top of it, if I had to pick something that wasn't animated, Masterpiece Hot Rod.
You know that it's potentially on the way.
Potentially on the way.
And that segues nicely into what I'm about to say, because you've pretty much covered what was on my mind. And they should have made more animated, regardless if there was no cartoon or not. They still pulled in the punters, so. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yep.
We still would have bought those toys, and it's proven that we're going to. Come on, you're Mr. We now call you Mr. Pre-order, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the segue. Masterpiece Shockwave.
Yeah. There's a lot of toys deserve a Masterpiece. Shockwave. Soundwave. I think we need Masterpiece Coneheads.
That would be cool.
And they need to be cone heads. They don't need to be a repaint of Starscream, Thundercracker, Skywarp.
That's right. They need a proper sort of thing. But the thing is, with that molding, a cone head would look just as silly as the G1. The one thing I've got to say is one thing they did really, really well with the Universe cone heads was that it didn't look like it was simply just the nose cone on top of his head. And on the G1s. Let's admit it does look rather silly. But they pulled it off really, really well. But I'm looking at that mold for the Masterpieces, it wouldn't necessarily work. They need to find a way to cover the molding for the head without making it look like it's just the cockpit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they would remold it because the wings, etc., would need to change because obviously of. Ramjet's wings, etc., Dirge and Thrust being completely different from the original Three Seekers, but yeah.
I'm going to say this now. I'm going to be reading out all the questions because, damn it, I wasn't in this edition, so I want my moment.
No.
Okay, man.
So we've finished.
We're finished with Chair Bear. Yeah.
I'm settling down. So we move on to our newest staff member, Nemesis Scourge, webmaster of the official Nerdsphere website or blogspot.
Which I have already mentioned.
But I want
you to mention it again.
I'm a total whore. The nerdsphere.blogspot.com. Go and look at it. It's actually pretty good. Good one, Nemi. And he starts off by saying.
Never heard of it.
Shut up, Owen. You only just got shaken awake today. Mind you've been me for about an hour or two, so...
Yeah. No, he's been me, I've been you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's a hierarchy.
No, I've been me. You guys have been...
You've lost your place for 30 episodes, Owen.
Anyways, Nemi's
moving
question.
On, Nemi, Nemesis Scourge, the pessimistic narcissist himself, goes on to say, question one, we've all had a time where we take the recommendations on for others on something to purchase. Getting Ghost of the Shell on DVD would be my most recent. So what would you honestly say is the best and worst ones you've had to date? He then goes on to say, no, Leo Prime is totally out of contention here, so don't even think about it. Do you know what, Nemi? Fuck it. It is fucking Leo Prime. Even Toya agrees with me. Anyway, I'll just get that out the way. Leo Prime out of contention, guys. Best and worst.
Mm-hmm. Me?
Wait, yeah, you're starting off.
I don't know if I have an answer for this, because I don't get recommended toys that often.
But you do have a collection. I mean, we're talking right down the toy lines, Phil.
Yeah, I know. Let's see, has anybody ever recommended anything to me that I didn't like? See, I generally go and buy things without a recommendation. Let's see.
What he's trying to say here is not so much if you've done it based on the recommendation. What he's saying here is,
No, he is. He's saying, we've all had recommendations, and what is the best and worst ones that you've had to date? This is totally non-Transformers, and it wasn't really a recommendation. It was more like pressure. My Skelliflex, those are pretty cool. But those were recommended by JD and by Andy. Mm. So that's pretty good. I will say that. I don't get recommended Transformer toys, because I always just buy what I want to buy. I've never had a bad recommendation, I suppose. Nobody's ever said to me, oh, you should buy this toy. Actually, you know what? And I'm just going to dump this on Jai's lap. But at Auto Assembly last year, he mentioned a toy to me. And he kept going on about Exilion, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I have Exilion. And I'm like, and we got over to the table. And sure enough, it was the Exilion that I did already have. And he was like, oh, well, they've got that one. He looks like Hot Rod. And we all know who I ended up buying.
yeah.
Hot Shot repaint. So I'll put that down as my worst recommendation, because Jai kind of pointed him out to me and went, hey, look, he looks like Hot Rod. Why don't you buy him? I did.
To be fair, I was also recommending to you that you don't, but...
That's... I know.
It's like the little angel and the devil on your shoulder and... Wait, Matt, since when are you... Never mind.
Matt had polished his halo that day.
Owen.
It's just on to me. Gosh almighty, probably my worst recommendation, and it wasn't that it was a recommendation, I saw it, a review on it, I think it was either Sean Long, or it was Andy, I don't remember which, but in any case, I blame you both for this, was, Universe Power Glide. And the reason why I hate that figure is not because it, you know, anything it has to do with the figure itself. It's just that the way it was positioned in my carry-on bag from Japan to the United States, that its little button was being pressed and it was stuck on the machine gun fire. And when it's stuck on the machine gun fire, it just keeps going on and on. And I had listened to that for like a 16-hour flight. Every time I would pick up the figure and reposition it, we would hit a little turbulence and... So, yeah, it's either Andy or Sean Long I have to blame, and I curse you for it, because I now just despise that figure to no end. But... someone who recommended a good figure to me, and what it was.
Hey!
You recommended a good... Which one did you recommend to me?
I recommended some, you know, Unicron Trilogy toys, and you now bought them. See? You bought good toys.
Really? Oh yeah, tidal wave. But I went out and I couldn't stand that puke green figure. I had to get I had to spend the extra cash to get the Armada Shockwave or Tidal Wave that's actually purple and looks like it hasn't been vomited up. It's still a crap toy.
You will grow to love them.
No, it's Tidal Wave. I have a sick relationship with because I love and hate him.
You do. You get the Come on, Owen. You've got Leo Zach. You know.
Again, that mold only works because it's a different coloring, and mine is missing his shin guards. For some reason, mine just did not come with shin guards, and I absolutely love the look without it, because the first thing I thought when I saw the Leo Zach was, wow, he would look totally awesome if it wasn't for those really ridiculous shin guards.
Owen, how much did you pay for the Leo Zach?
I didn't pay a lot. I paid, like... especially for a convention figure, I paid only like $40 for it, I think.
$40.
Hey, for a convention figure, you know that's pretty cheap.
It is pretty cheap.
Especially
when
it's being sold back around.
It is pretty cheap, Owen. You're quite right. But if I were to pay $40 for a toy, I'd want it to be complete.
See. The thing is that on the picture it looks complete, but when I actually got him, you know, he was missing his shin guards, which, again, I really can't complain because I was probably going to remove them anyways.
Mm.
It's just the guy did it for me.
Let's move on to me, okay, because we've hung on long enough on question one. The thing is, he's kind of put a gun to my head here because... Leo Prime is still the worst damn recommendation I've ever had. And that is from our former co-host.
See, I think Sean just seems to recommend bad toys to everybody. Backstop.
Backstop, yes. There you go. And don't get me started on Kamen Rider Keteros. anyway, let me say... secondary, I really can't think of a worse recommendation somebody gave to me other than the one Sean gave me. I'm sorry, Nemi, but this is it. I've bought own toys off my own back, which have turned out to be shit, like Universe Clocker and all that other stuff. But the only time where somebody says, right, you really need to get this toy, it's awesome, and I took their advice and bought it. That was it. That was Leo Prime. That is it. The best recommendation anyone's given me was Godjinrai. I believe it was during the my time on the Transformers.net. And they pointed out, yeah, there's like little bits here and there. Sometimes you have a little bit of problem with putting the Power Master Jinrai in the front cab and all of that. But you get this, and this, and it completely sold me. And then there was Master Force, and it was I remembered back to this dude's recommendation, so I ended up getting him. Can't remember the dude now, because this was like 5 years ago. But it's still rather awesome. That's the best recommendation I got, Godjinrai.
Cool.
Of course, there was also the time that I bought Armada Scavenger based on the recommendation of Chris McFeely. But then again, that was just to piss Dave off. But you know what? It is a good toy. I don't care what other people say. It is a good toy. It's a brick, but it's a lovable, playable brick.
See, sometimes bricks can be awesome.
What, like Ultra Magnus?
Yeah.
Well, it is. Ultra Magnus is awesome.
It is true. Yeah, you're quite right. Moving on to question two. Given the attention Generation 2 toys and colour schemes are having right now, do you yourself have a favourite from that era? Or better yet, does the one you like make others want to gouge their eyes out because it brings unimaginable pain to the depths of their very soul? He doesn't mince his words, does he? He goes on to say on a note, No, Spark cannot be accepted as a valid answer to this question unless it's for the sole reason of bringing Matt further to the brink of utter insanity. Dude, I produce this podcast on a weekly basis. It's already on the urge. I'm already on the urge of losing my sanity.
Being that I'm not a G2 fan, never have been. I was out of Transformers by the time G2 came around. I'm going to have to invoke the sole reason and say, it's Autobot Spark! Just because Matt hates him so much!
Oh, I mean, you haven't heard the best of that, mate. Oh, God.
Oh, you missed it. Me and Owen have already had a conversation with Spark.
It was Spark all the time.
Oh, God. Oh, you poor boy.
But yeah.
It was hilarious.
I really don't have any sort of like... I've seen the G2 Dinobots, the blue... Grimlock's blue, isn't he? Snarl is green, I think, along those lines. They look kind of nice, but I'm not a G2 guy, so I'm only going to have to go with what I know at the minute, and that's the bot concept. And I really do like that bot concept. Well, I like two of the things out of the bot concept. Street Star is a bit shit. Rapido, if he does turn up, is a bit shit. Clench is awesome. So it's three. Clench, Spark, and Breakdown. I really would love those toys. But they're just so awesome.
Yeah.
If I have to go proper G2, I'll go with the Dinobots because I love the Dinobots and their wacky colors. I don't know any other G2 characters.
For me, oh, and by the way, I do want that G2 Redux Clench, and I do actually want the Universe Hardhead now for an obvious reason. Yeah. Third party!
Yeah.
Go on, then.
Well, I was just going to say, I agree with you that I like the way that, you know, Clench looks. Very, very nice looking figure. He's one of the few characters I would get from this box set.
Yeah.
But,
anyway, back to the proper G2. I stuck with Transformers right up to the Generation 2 line, because let's be fair, Generation 2 didn't last all that long. I will be honest here. I like G2 Megatron. I know he's a giant brick, but I always seem to like the idea. He was this mad green and purple thing with a thing on his shoulder. But damn it, he looked so fun. My mind couldn't really comprehend why they brought back him for the G2 thing until I started reading the comics again. Because I went back on the collector's editions. But I was one of those fans that stuck through Transformers. I still pretty much like Transformers, despite the Action Masters. That put me off, but I still stuck with some of the fiction. I like the redone mini-bots with their chrome schemes. I do like those. I never liked the colour scheme on the Constructicons. I thought that was rather pants. I preferred it as purple and green. I didn't really like Optimus Prime because at the end of the day, it was just the G1 Optimus Prime with a different trailer that made sounds.
And it said Prime on the side.
And said Optimus Prime on the side. Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah. I know this is kind of ridiculous to bring this up because, you know, really, what I'm arguing about is the reality of something that's, you know, really, really fictitious. But if you're supposed to be a robot in disguise, and you have your name plastered on a trailer, don't you think that the Decepticons would, I don't know, catch on?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you know, Prime, you know, that little thing of vanity is, you know, probably not the best idea, you know?
Indeed. Not a good idea.
I think, are we fully done with this? I mean, have we all picked like a G2 that we've liked and Sony?
Actually, you skipped over me, but I'm just going to steal your answer of Megatron because when I was a kid, G1 was ending and G2 was coming out because they were trying to make more money, and even as a kid, I preferred the G1. Figures to the G2, but that Megatron I've always wanted because I thought he looked far more intimidating than the little gun. Because it's like, oh, it's a Megatron doesn't have somebody holding him, he's really freaking useless. But that tank, I just always found him to be intimidating and a menace. But by that time I was reading the G2 comics, and Megatron and that series was a beast.
So we're all done with Nemi's questions. Do you know what? This is awesome. This is purely awesome. We didn't expect this, but somebody of such profound wisdom, intellect, good looks, and
pathological liar.
He's just an.
Thank you. I appreciate all this, the stroking of my ego, but
it's just a fantastic guy, and he likes the most awesome G1 toy ever. It has posted questions. He starts off by saying, "Hi, didn't expect me to post a couple of questions here, huh? It's Time Lord."
No.
Question one.
That asshole posted.
Yeah.
Where's my rope and gun?
Yeah.
We should just skip it.
It's a shame.
No, these are actually very good, very relevant questions.
Yeah, they're fantastic questions. You know, it's really going to make you think. Question one to Phil. Is it true you have to slap your own genitals in order to do that G2 Spark voice?
No, not at all. It's really natural, and it doesn't hurt my voice at all.
But it does. Oh God, you're both doing it. I think you should go and both knock your own cocks. Anyway.
What? Oh my God. I'm sorry, listeners, but Matt does not speak for all of us involved.
I want to beat the pair you up.
Matt, don't you like Tyler? Don't you like Spark? Spark loves you.
G2 Spark has a friend. He invited Elmo.
I can see this question backfiring.
I think that I should read you your question, Matt.
Shut up. No. Question two. To Matt. Is it true you truly are the most beautiful guy who ever hosted a podcast? Why, yes, no. I am.
No, second.
Third.
No. I'm truly the most beautiful guy ever to host a podcast. Come on, there's like Vangelis LL Prime.
Fabio is the most beautiful.
Fabio?
And yes, he has hosted a podcast.
God, great.
I don't want to know how Owen knows this, so let's move on.
Oh, God.
He's still obsessed with Fabio.
Don't answer it.
Still obsessed.
We don't want to know.
Don't. Let's move on to Astro Train. It was a mistake having Owen here. The physics the physics breaker goes on to say, question one, what Transformers series would you guys like to get a comic series? You can't say animated, as I'm sure everyone wants that too. And he sticks out his tongue. Obviously, he wants a French kiss. I personally would like to see Transtech, as what the original idea was, a sequel to Beast Machines, made into a comic, and see where it goes.
What Transformers series would I like to see get a comic? What does he mean by series? Does he mean cartoon? Does he mean... I don't know. I would have said animated, you shit. I don't like Beast Wars. I don't like Armada. I don't know. Generation 1 has comics. This is a moot point. The only one I want to say is Generation 1, and it's out there. Kind of. in IDW form. If I had to say what would I like to see get a comic series, I would like to see War for Cybertron get a comic. Because it's something new. I think I would like War for Cybertron to get a comic. Because he took animated away from me. You damn physics breaker.
Do you know what I say? I'm the boss.
What do you say?
I'm the boss of the Nerdsphere. I'm the producer and main host of the All About City podcast. And therefore, I'm going to say animated. Because that's my role. We need a proper ending to animated. I'm sorry. And one way or another, it's got to be done. If it can't be done on a movie, at least have it done on the written page. I'm sorry. Physics Breaker, it's got to be animated.
Let's see. I would like to see, well, again, I would love to see to totally break the rule, but I would totally love to see animated. But since that's not the choice I can pick or whatever it is, I would like to either see another Beast Wars comic that didn't focus on any of the Beast Wars characters that have been introduced through the comics, because the Beast Wars comics are kind of crap. I would like them to actually focus on another group, a brand new group of characters, and, you know, build on to the world of Beast Wars a little bit better than they did. Or I would like to see them complete the Zone storyline.
Now you're talking. I was saying, the Beast Wars one couldn't really be done because Simon Furman basically brought out every single existing character known to man, and even their Japanese repaints.
That's why I don't want to see those characters.
Yeah.
I don't want to see them. I want them to come up with new characters. Brand new characters.
I completely agree with you with Zone. You've got a really good point there, because back in my fan fiction times, I was planning to like do a proper finish to Zone, you know, like a proper storyline. So yeah, I would like to see that done by professionals. Yes, certainly.
Yeah, but those would be my picks.
Right, the question two. If you could pick any series of Transformers to cross over with, which one and why? It could be any Transformers series and other series from any other company, or even another Transformers series. I will accept no crossovers at all as an answer. Okay, well, shall I say no crossovers at all then?
Yeah, no crossovers at all. No, I think Jeremy and Glenn said this. I think Transformers needs to cross over with Mask.
Yeah, oh, totally. I will say this, though, because here's the thing. I'm going to go back and I'm going to say they should do a crossover with G.I. Joe, have some of the vehicles transform. We already had that with one of the vehicles in Energon Snowcat. He was blatantly based on one of the snowfaring vehicles.
Mm.
So I'll go with G.I. Joe and Transformers. But if you want a really aloof answer, I would say bring back the Alternators line and have them based on an Aston Martin. You know, James Bond.
James Bond.
Wow.
They can't even do a new James Bond movie by agreeing on it. They're hardly going to do one with Transformers.
I know.
Let's see. I would like to see, actually, and maybe they could do this right, maybe they can't, I don't know. But it would be really nice to see, like, a crossover between the Brave series and one of the Transformer series. I really don't care at this point. It could be, they could do something where, you know, the Brave robots meet, you know, the animated robots, or, you know, and that way we could have animated the Brave series, and that can become a whole spin-off, or
you know, Brave meets, you know, the other Japanese Transformers or, you know. And I guess I just want to see the Brave series because we all know that that series was essentially the Japanese attempts to keep the toys that they already had made for Transformers that, you know, after Transformers was, you know, canceled, to keep that going.
Mm.
And I think that if there was any kind of crossover that was going to work that wasn't G.I. Joe, that would have to be the crossover.
Hmm.
Yes. Yes, yes. I'm sorry. I'm looking to the future questions, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. But we'll cover them in the second. we're all done with Astro Train's questions, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Let's move on to the Keeper of Cassettes. And the questioning wonder gives us, if there was a toy you really wanted, what kind of amazing stunt would the other person have to do to get it from you? Be realistic and unrealistic. Okay. If the unrealistic has anything to do with anything, we'll just go completely nuts.
If there was a toy you really, really wanted, what kind of amazing stunt would the other person have to do to get it from you? I don't understand.
That's a paradox. That is a paradox and a half.
If you really, really wanted it, what's the other person going to do to take it from you? I haven't got it because I really want it. Or do I own it and it's something that I'd really want to? Like, would it be me, think, like, I trying to take you, your Shockwave?
I think you own it. I think you own it.
No. I think I know what he's trying to say, but it's come out a bit gobbledygook. Basically, if another person had the toy that you wanted, what would you do to get it from him, both being in realism and being unrealistic? It's the way he's worded it. He'll have to get back to us on that one. But I'm going to go by that. If the other person has a toy you really, really, really want, the Zigga Zigar, Decca Bell.
Shut up.
How,
I don't have that yet.
I know. But when you do, yeah. Yeah. I'll be knocking. Anyway.
If the trailer's rocking, don't come knocking.
Woohoo!
I don't really want to see that pale Irish arse. Anyway, Phil, on that note, what would you do, both realistically or unrealistically?
I can't think of anything. This is like, what would I do realistically? Scar it for eBay. unrealistically, I would put on my Decca driver. I would go, Henshin! And turn into something. And go and kick the guy's ass and get my big sword out and, like, slash him so he explodes into, like, a flaming ball of unrealistic booms. And then I'd pick the toy up and go, ka-ching!
I think for added nuttyism, is that even a word? It is now. Nuttyisms. I think you should transform into Kamen Rider Amazon.
Oh, because then it would just
but
be
not
death.
But not the gay one.
The one that murders everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stabby, stabby!
Oh, yeah.
No. There you go. I'll go, Henshin! Stick my card in. And I'll go, Kamen Rider, Jidey! And I just turn into Jai with two
swords. Oh, God, that is such a horrible image.
And I stick another card in. It goes, Final Ride, Stabby, Stabby!
This is a stabby!
It's like, you know, it's like a Kamen Rider. Jai! Huh! No. Wow. Jai is now Stabby Stabby Bear. He's filled with glass. He's now Kamen Rider Jai.
Well, his videos now come from Stabby Stabby Productions.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, you can check JD's latest video by going on the Nerdsphere blogspot.
Indeed.
Yeah. right. Anyway. Owen, do you want to take this on, or shall I?
Yeah, let's see. Realistically, stab the guy in the leg.
Realistically?
Realistically,
you're going to keep get the fuck off me, mate. Oh,
unrealistically, I would take my power cord drill that pierces the heavens, and fuse Andy and Dave together into one giant robot with sunglasses and all the Transform memorabilia that one could want. Utterly destroy that the person that has it with a solar system that I'm using as a discus, and then quite possibly take a crap on their front lawn and take said toy.
Mm. Is that the realistic one?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. If, Owen, you can keep the hell away from me, mate, if that's the case. Just no.
No, no. No, you know me. I'm joshing or whatnot, but...
Yes. Why am I even surprised?
In all honesty and realistically, I might try to buy it from somebody or that person or... Or try to pay far more than maybe it's probably worth.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to answer this question. Realistically, I would offer a trade from something of mine that I don't to the thing I want, or buy it off of him, or work something out. Unrealistically, I would go over to his house, kidnap him, take him over to the lake, find the world's biggest jar of honey, dip him in it, put him out, put him on the sand, get fire ants to eat him up, and then finally, I'll get Mikey to rape him.
Sorry, I had to blow the rear porn.
I never thought I would say this, but dear God, man, that's morbid.
Dude, I thought you'd have went, oh, I'd get in my TARDIS, go back in time to the moment that he went to buy it at first, steal it from his hand, and warp back to the future, having not had to pay for it.
That would be cool, but the other alternative is rather fun.
Well, then again, every single one of us did murder somebody, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, there is the Mikey rape.
Mikey rape.
Yeah,
but would this be before he's a corpse or after he's a corpse?
After he's a corpse, but just as his body's cooling down.
Ah, right. Would the fire ant still be on the corpse at the time?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
If you're gonna do that, what you need to do is you need to do it just right as he's dying, so that the last few moments of his life is just a horrible image of being raped by Mikey.
Just a quick side note on an update. I've won my first Kamen Rider attack ride card. It's Kiva. Sorry.
Is this the one I peed you off with by putting a bid on?
Yes, by putting a bid on it, yeah.
Oh, there you go. See, I told you you'd get it.
Anyways.
Anyway, over to... Because that was a silly question. Oh, damn it. The second question is, whatever happened to the city chatter? Now, the only...
I ate it!
It became chitty chatter.
Yeah. I'm going to, as the guy that does this each week, and plans them and all that other stuff, I'm going to have to just basically address this one myself. It is really, really unrealistic to cover city chatter on a weekly basis. As it were, we now cover comics each week. The schedules involved in this, I mean, it's happened today, I couldn't make it for the opening part of the podcast. The schedules involved to get us all together to do this is getting more and more silly. So therefore something has to give in order to effectively do it. One thing we decreed a long time ago is we only save the city chatter for special occasions. Mm-hmm. One of these days we'll have it back, one of these days, and there'll be other times where we won't have it. It has to be rather special for us to bring it back, because if we did it every single week, we would run out of things to say. Planning a special kind of city chatter for when we start doing the anniversary stuff, but at the moment, it's not important in the grand scheme of things. We're happy doing the listeners' questions as and when. We're happy doing the news. We're happy doing all the other stuff. Phil's having a blast doing the Comics Corner, because let's be absolutely honest here. The comics and the current toys are the driving force behind the Transformers at the moment.
Yeah.
So, again, something has to give. We will come back to City Chatter, but it's not a frequent thing anymore. If you want to submit some City Chatter, there is a thread that has been gone completely untouched for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months. If you've got some decent city chatter, post it on the thread. We'll gladly have a look at it. And if we like what we see, we might set that city chatter for a future event. Go ahead and do it. I implore you to. But doing it regularly, it's not a done thing anymore. So on that note, and besides, Owen's too busy eating the city chatter for us to really pull it out of his mouth.
It's nom, 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 nom.
That guy is like a big grizzly bear when he gets something in his gnashes. We really can't be bothered to get it from him.
And it's just as disturbing.
Yeah, it is just as disturbing. And we've got the naked pictures of Owen to show you how disturbing.
Oh, no, don't bring those up. I've forgotten about them.
Anyway.
I love the fact that my image brings in such fear and horror to you people.
That's what.
So Grufflock, before I have to drink more beer.
To Grufflock. Thank God you didn't set any flipping time-based things. Oh, thank God for that. Question one. Can Autobot Spark become a regular host? Oh,
great. Yes! I think I should be the host every week. I need to take over from Time Lord.
You know, now that you just said that, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the, gosh almighty, the little greeting card, little Mother's Day greeting card from Futurama that started spouting off the communist manifesto.
It's a greetings card that tried to take over the world.
Yes. It was trying to take over the world with all the other robots, but it was just... It was this little greeting card, and it had that same little cute voice, but it's just spouting out the Communist Manifesto. It was like the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
So, Time Lord, Autobot Spark wants to know, are you broken yet?
No.
Aww.
You are a regular host. You are fictitious.
No, I'm not. I'm a Generation 2 Autobot. Oh, wait.
Woohoo!
See, you're speechless. Go away.
Aww.
Go.
I'll be back later.
Go.
It's not a tumor.
Don't you start. Go.
Don't. Put the cookie down.
Damn it. God damn it.
Get to the chopper.
Sorry.
It's not a tumor. Get to the chopper.
God damn you bastards. Right. Question two. Question fecking two. If you could choose oh god, we've already answered this question.
See our previous answers.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say this. If you could choose a TF crossover comics or toy line with a non-G.I. Joe line, what would you go for? Gem.
My Little Pony.
Yes, Gem. No, if you're gonna go with the My Little Pony and the Gem crossovers, The Gem in My Little Pony has to be to scale to the Transformers so that you could use that Megatron just stomping on them.
And just to throw just a few more things into this big crossover pile of mud, put the glowworms in, put Rainbow Bright in, put
Teddy Ruxpin.
Teddy Ruxpin, Spot the Dog, flipping
the Wuzzles.
You gotta have a crossover with the GoBots, because you just need to have what is it? Leader One sitting there talking to Optimus Prime, and Optimus Prime just goes, "Who the hell are you?"
No, just, "You gotta be fucking kidding me."
And then, looking on the moon above, we've got the characters from Button Moon saying, "Well, this is crazy, whacked out shit."
And you have Captain Caveman coming in going, "Captain Caveman!"
So, Grufflock, there is your question answered, mate, because we already answered that. So we decided to go with a stupid approach for this one.
I want to see that crossover now.
I think this next question is the question of the show.
It is the question of the show. Fuji Sakamari, I think I got that right. Fuji Sakamari. Comes out with this really, really important question.
Actually, wait, it's not even a question because there's no question mark.
Well, let's pretend there's one at the end of it, okay?
Can we edit one in?
We can edit a question in. But he starts off by saying, can every podcast come with a cookie? No, because I'm a cheapskate and my budget does not stretch that far. You have to go and buy your own cookie.
It's officially a question. I added a question mark.
Go, where's the...
I want cookie.
If you refresh it, the question mark's there.
I want cookie.
And his second question is, if Hot Rod G1 puts a question mark on my question, is it still a question?
I don't know. Is it ever a question?
Oh, God, grief.
Ugh. I told you I'd be back.
Go away, Spark.
Let's see. Okay. All I can say to that is, maybe. Yes, maybe.
I'm just going to say this right now, right? What is it with people and crossovers this week?
I don't know.
Okay, uppercase CCC comes up with question one. Doctor Who crossovers TARDIS to Doctor can be any Doctor, yay or nay? No!
Hello, if we were going to get a Doctor Who crossover, I would want an Amy Pond that turns into a sex slave, and I'm the only person that's allowed to buy it.
You already have her as a transformable sex slave. You've got the blow-up.
I wish I had a blow-up real doll of Amy Pond. Oh. Hubba hubba.
Oh, God, grief.
Wow. I mean, I think that's the saddest thing I have heard and or seen. I've seen since going to that adult store in Japan.
Oh, come on, but Amy Pond is hot.
I don't think Owen's seen the new show of Doctor Who yet.
It hasn't come over here yet, I don't think.
No, it has. You're three episodes in.
You're 2 weeks behind us, mate.
Well, in that case, I also don't have cable, so that could also be the problem.
That's probably the reason.
Just say
it's okay. I will just let Owen see a picture of Karen Gillan, and let's see if he agrees or not.
Okay, again, sorry this is an audio podcast, but we want to hear Owen Spunk himself.
Yeah, you want to hear this, don't you?
Yeah. By the way, Phil.
What?
Owen only goes for Asian women.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be right back. Just give me, like...
30
give me
seconds?
Like 5 minutes, 5, all right, just give me 2.
Well, while Owen's doing that important bit of Owen's happy time, let's go into uppercase CCC second question. So Matt bought them new Daleks.
No, it's So Matt, how about those Daleks? This is uppercase CC.
Oh yeah, well, still, the answer would be the same.
I have one thing to say about those new Daleks.
Go
on. Taste the rainbow!
Sorry.
Mikey does a better job at that than you.
I know he does, because he can get the voice better. Actually, I really like the new Daleks, but this is a Transformers podcast.
Yes, it's a goddamn Transformers podcast. Oh.
And to anybody that I deafened there, I apologize. I did take my microphone away from my mouth as far as possible.
I just got to say, I don't like those new Daleks, and I'll leave it at that. We're ending the show like that.
Has Owen cleaned up yet?
Yeah, is Owen...
Yes.
No.
Yes, I am.
And so, does that mean Karen Gillan gets a thumbs up?
She's okay.
And on that bombshell, I'm guessing we're finishing the show.
Yeah.
Once again, I can only apologize for not being in the entirety of this. I had some really, really important stuff to take care of family-wise. And yet again, thank you to Owen and Phil for basically filling in my absence while I was away. So that's like an episode and a half I've been away now.
Worry about it. Hey, Matt, don't worry about it. I've been gone for how long now? I haven't apologized.
I believe you started going away from like episode one onwards, and then you just hear it all. Hey, Owen, remember that time where you were the main host?
God, do I ever. I still think of myself as the main host. It's just you're holding the position for me for when I have my vicious, brutal, and bloody reinstatement of power. That's all.
So you're going to start paying for the podcast monthly?
Oh, hell's no.
Well, shut up then. Oh, God. See, it's all mine now, boys. Mine.
Get to the chopper.
Because these questions ended so badly, we're just filling it up with stupid crap now.
Yeah.
So look, let's just end it there.
Let's just say this, guys. We don't have very many questions left on the board. We've won set. Please come to the Nerdsphere via the nerdsphere.blogspot.com. Yep, I remembered it.
Yeah.
And posted some questions.
Please do.
Not about crossovers and not about Doctor Who.
Yes, I know my name is Time Lord, but this is not a Doctor Who podcast.
And feel free to post as many Autobot Spark questions as you want.
You can shut up.
Also, just FYI for any of you Transformer fans, the Midwest here in the United States, we are going to be having in Indiana a unofficial Transformers convention called SlagaCon. I'll most likely be there. So if you want to revel in my brilliance and my glory, I guess I'll allow it. Just come on down.
We've also got a thread on SlagaCon. It's been going on for some time, including the we got the services of the actual organizer of SlagaCon, Chad Johnson, or Chad Williams. Yeah. So post any questions you've got for him over at Fred on the Nerdsphere. It's down on the convention site. I did not start the show, so it's only fitting that the two guys that start the show take over. So I'm just going to say, this is Time Lord signing out. Be excellent to each other, for we're all one. Remember, send your listeners questions in. If you've got any city chatter, post it on the relevant thread and we'll look at them. And if there's one that takes our fancy, we will cover it.
Oh, yeah. Suggestions are always welcome.
Mm-hmm. And so, you guys finish the show.
And Owen, give us your spiel, man.
All right. Well, I'm back, guys. So look forward to my sheer awesomeness. Excuse me. Gracing the podcast more often than it has been. This is Omki or Chowler saying, take it easy, guys. If it's easy, take it twice.
And this is the host from the beginning, taking us out by saying, I just won a Kamen Rider Fize Excel card.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, post on the board. Come and give us. And the final word of the show is,
Autobots, transform and roll out!
We are never ending the show like that again. Ever.
Yes,
ever are we ending the show like that again.
Oh, Matt, where there's a will, there's a way.
Oh yeah. Oh,
God. Toodles.
Bye.